song.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
tonight. We are going to witness the most anticipated match in the history of professional wrestling.
And this is a main event of the evening.
Please welcome your host for today.
Jason is here.
Dude, I swear to God, I'm not as big an asshole as it sounds like.
And Taz is here. I mean, Sal is here.
It's Taz!
Look at it this way. It's the first thing we've done together as a team.
I grab my dick, you grab your dick. You work my arm, I work your arm. Same time. Same time, it's like jerking off together, but not gay. We're not touching dicks. Each other's dicks, anyway. I'm touching my dick. And you're working it, and I'm loving it.
Well, enough is enough, and it's time for
the Rundown.
Oh, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Rundown Wrestling Podcast. You might not be familiar with my voice, but my name is Jason. I am sliding into the host chair tonight after a one-week hiatus. Yes, only 1 week. I've actually was on this thing 2 weeks ago. I know it seems like that's not true, but it actually is. Anyway, Troy is on assignment. Adam is, I think, at the Barbie movie. I don't know what outfit he chose to wear. I'm sure he can tell us about that next week. But somebody who is not at the Barbie movie tonight, joining me here, my favorite Mexican, Sal, what's going on, bud?
Holy shit, Jason's back. My God almighty. You know, it's like the past couple weeks we've had like the classic episodes come back. Everybody remembers. Everybody gets nostalgic for you and Troy when you show up a couple times a year. I'm just fucking with you.
Listen, baseball season ghosting is nothing new for me. It's just new for Troy.
That's a good point. Usually you guys don't do it at the same time. But you
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
We are happy to do this show, though, because we love to sit here and bitch about wrestling.
You know what? It's like anything else in the world. There's so much bullshit out there going on. It's nice to sit down and escape for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, sometimes four if we're fucking doing WrestleMania. But I just shoot the shit and bullshit about something that's not super significant, but just some fun. So we are here to alleviate the stress in your world. No happy endings, but we are going to talk about the world of professional wrestling for at least a little bit, and hopefully have a good time and make you laugh a couple times. So that is what we are here to do. Sal, how's your week been?
Oh, I have breaking news.
You're pregnant.
No. Well, first of all, I would like to point out that, to your point earlier, Adam just texted me and said, y'all need to see the Barbie movie. Holy fuck.
Okay, I probably won't.
I was going to say, me neither. My daughters went to go see it. They loved it. That's awesome. I honestly don't think I get it. It's not my thing. Adam now says it's incredible. Okay.
Take your word for it, Chief.
Exactly. But no, I do have an update on the C-Max.
Oh, I thought you were going to say call me the C-word, but God.
last week I didn't really have an update because it was still not fixed. But today it is finally fixed. My lovely 18-year-old daughter, who took my car at 10 o'clock on a rainy, foggy night and hit the curb at, like, oh, I don't know, 40, 45 miles an hour. She told me 30, but every single mechanic who has taken a look at this car was like, wow, she did a number on this car. two tires, one...
No, Dad, I was absolutely going the speed limit at that time, 100%.
Two tires.
No doubt in my mind. I looked right down at the odometer right as I hit the curb, I swear.
Two tires, one tie rod, two shocks, and an alignment. And that's $1,000 later, folks.
Dude, just buy a new fucking car.
I have to still pay for this one. So,
oh, Jesus Christ.
7 more months, and then we'll see what I can do about trading it in.
Good God.
Yeah.
You're going to bring that thing to fucking trade it in, and they're going to give you a fucking stick of bubble gum and a fucking paper clip.
Funny you say that, right? my last car, the reason I got this car is because my last car was dying a slow death. To the point where the guy told me, if you can get it here, we'll give you $1,200 off your next car's price. And I'm like, yeah, I can get it here. I don't know how I got it there. The fucking spoiler engine, alert. The radiator, the battery, the fucking brakes.
Spoiler alert, you'll get more selling it to junk than you will
if
they give you $1,200.
Well,
so you're better off to sell it to junk, take the cash they give you, and put that as the down payment. You'll get more off of it.
Well, you know what? It worked out for me because it allowed me to get a new car. But this car was dying so bad.
It allowed you to get a C-Max.
Okay, so. But when this car, my old car was a Honda CR-V.
I'll bet after you pulled out of the fucking lot, the salesman went back into the fucking like associates lobby there and went, dude, I just sold the fucking C-Max, okay?
What?
Put my name on the fucking wall. Like,
rub it in fucking a little bit more, dude. hey, I picked that
dealership. The confetti that probably dropped from the ceiling. But
I picked that dealership. I purposely looked up where I could get. And I wanted like a fucking regular car, and I thought that's what I was getting. Boy, was I wrong. Actually, no. It's never been terribly bad. It's just that it's very light and very easily damaged. But the thing is, when I gave the old car to the guy at the dealership, I was like, hey, buddy, the brakes don't really work, okay? Don't actually drive it into the garage. He's like, no, I'm fine. I'm like, I warned you. And then he proceeds to do like 2 miles an hour to the garage. But anyway, point of the matter is, the car is finally fixed. And like I said, $1,000 later, I could have used $1,000.
Well, my wife's car's in the shop, so we'll see what happens
again.
But
wasn't it just in the shop a few months ago?
No.
Oh, I remember you complaining about it. Maybe it was yours.
I think they're gonna try.
I mean, all of our cars have been in the shop. What's wrong with hers?
The ABS light came on and won't go off. And then one of the other lights is on and won't go off. So, yeah. Probably nothing. Probably a short somewhere. But, you know.
They're going to be like, that's a catalytic converter, folks. That's going to be $600.
It is what it is. Her car's paid off, so I don't want to get a new one.
No, I don't blame you.
So, yeah. Still runs. It's paid off. A couple more years, Jackson will need a car anyway, so then we'll upgrade her then. He can take that shitbox to drive around, so. You know.
Give him the shitbox. Well, no, that's smart. That's why my father gave me the tank, the fucking 86 Blazer, because he's going to fuck up. He's going to hit stuff, but if he's in a car like that, he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. But anyway, I do have some good news. It feels like we always start these things with shitty news. So let me start with some good news. Because since I've been on last time, I think I mentioned my son's AAU team had their playoffs coming up that weekend. So they not only won their first two games on Saturday to qualify for the championship game. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be that Sunday. Rain prohibited that, so we ended up having to play on Monday. And in that game, fantastic game. They got out to a quick 2-0 lead. The other team came back, scored three. We're up 3-2. We tied it at 3-3. They scored two. It was 5-3. We scored three to make it 6-5 and ended up winning the game at 6-5. So Jackson and his Spartans teammates are the champions of their state. So congratulations to them. And then since that, the team has disbanded and everyone is now going and doing tryouts for new teams. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it sucks because I love the kids. The kids were really good together. The coaches were good with the kids. Just sometimes the way these programs are run, it's just not, you know, what the parents are looking for and, you know, what's the best situation for your money. So
is that like the gimmick every year? They kind of do tryouts again and see where you're going to be placed?
Well, no, so you have to, I mean, we could have stayed with the same team, but everyone else was leaving and we weren't happy with the way it was run. So, it's run by somebody who it's not their primary job. This organization is sort of like, I don't want to say hobby, but essentially a hobby.
So it doesn't get the level of attention it probably should, and that there's no reason to cheat the kids. And they're at the age where this is these years are the years they have to be developing and getting ready to learn to play high school ball and beyond if they're going to. So, for example, my kid was slumping a little bit going into the playoffs. I went down to the cage with him. I recognized what was going on. I fixed it, and he crushed in the playoffs. So
there you go.
Yeah, almost hit two out, two stand up doubles, but almost hit both of them out. They were fucking tanks. Wow. So yeah, pitched really well. Yeah, had a good little playoff run. So, as he did in our town series too. So, which little bit of justice, I guess, the team that beat us, as I mentioned last time. On the controversial call, ended up getting all the way to the state finals, but lost. So, yeah,
a little bit of justice.
Doesn't really make me feel any better, though.
I know.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question for you because your kid's getting old enough now. High school? Are you just going to go to the local high school, or are you going to do something specifically like for sports?
There are a few places in our area that are very sports heavy. The problem with that is, though he's national honors and he's got the grades to pretty much go wherever he wants to go, but at the end of the day, I've told him, like, if you want to go to this place, as good as you are, there are three other people who are as good or better than you at your position. It's just where everybody who can play wants to go.
That's fair.
So do you want to be in a place where you're going to be one of the best and get the most exposure and attention, or do you want to go to a place where you might sit a lot more because there's someone better than you? So we haven't decided yet. There's a couple. There's also a lot of his friends are going to the local trade school, so I don't think he wants to go there from what he's told me.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to trade school. In fact,
get yourself
great spot.
A career for real.
Right.
Start
making money before you graduate high school. Shit.
Right.
But just not what he's looking to do, at least as of now. He's got another year. That could change his mind. So we'll see. But I think a lot of his friends are going to the local high school, so I think he's probably going to end up doing that. But we'll see.
Nothing wrong with the local high school. I get a break, though. I get a year break because my middle daughter is going into eighth grade. So I don't have to go near the high school for another year.
Oh, there you go. Same with Jackson.
They were rebuilding the high school in this town. So for the past 2 years, it has been a traffic nightmare.
Oh.
And plus, then I noticed at graduation of my oldest that I don't like anybody in this town. And every time I see them, I get angry. So,
boy.
But as we discussed last week, myself and Troy, we don't like people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a select few, like you and Adam sometimes. Look, he's giving me that look behind your shoulder right now.
Yeah, of course he is.
But what's been going on with you this week, other than AAU baseball? What's going on at work? Anything?
No, same old, same old. New phone system.
Ugh.
It's gone fairly well, but it's one of those deals where it's like, well, every other day there's like, oh, can you re-show me how to do this thing that we've gone through training for already? Yes, I can do that. But we did a training on part of another part we hadn't done training on earlier this week, or late last week. And during that training, there was like four managers on, and they opted to start discussing like employees with disciplinary problems and, you know, I want to look at this to see what this person's doing. And I want to be able to see who this was because I don't think they're doing enough and blah, blah, blah. Which is fine until I got to my office on Tuesday and realized that we recorded that session and put it in the public directory so that everybody could see it if they wanted to know how to do reports. And then I'm like, fuck, the people they were talking about could see those videos. So I quickly moved them out of that folder.
Wow.
So that when you're in a training that's being recorded, watch what you say. But anyway.
Oh boy.
Yeah, all good. No damage done. Your boy caught it early enough, so we're good.
There we go. But, it's always on the job, yeah. This one.
Oh, no shit.
Speaking of being and, on the job.
And tomorrow, starting tomorrow night, I get to announce for the Massachusetts Little League State Finals. So, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. Two games tomorrow, two games Friday, one game Saturday, one game Sunday for the championship.
Where
the
are
winner
they holding
goes on
these
to,
state finals? Where are you
in our town, actually. In our town, actually. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
So no, no risk of saying, good evening, Worcester! Yeah.
No, that's Adam.
I know.
You've heard that story before,
right? Oh, yes. Good evening, yes. Peabody.
Yes.
They were like in
good
Danvers or something.
Good evening, Peabody! Boo! But anyway, speaking of wrestling, if everyone could, if you've got Facebook out there and you're listening, please do me a favor. Go to Facebook. My former employers over at Atlantic Pro Wrestling are running a survey on their Facebook page for who should be the next Hall of Famer for Atlantic Pro Wrestling. And while I have deep respect and love for every single one of the nominees, the fact that currently Demon Ortiz is not leading in that poll is an absolute travesty. Nobody represented Atlantic Pro Wrestling better or longer or in more high-profile situations than Demon Ortiz did. So if everybody's listening, even if you don't give a shit about Atlantic Pro Wrestling, go to their Facebook page, vote on the poll for the Hall of Fame, vote for Demon Ortiz, and I would appreciate it. So that's just a little non sequitur.
On a related note, I've seen his work thanks to you, and he is amazing. And it's a shame I didn't see him on the scene when I was younger. You know what I mean? Different territory,
as good as he is,
I suppose.
As good as he was when you saw him, you should have seen him way back in the day.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah, when he was coming up, it was special.
So. Yeah, wasn't my local promotion, I guess.
Yeah.
We always...
Well, he was all over back then.
I mean,
he used to do the show at Good Times.
See, I found myself going to Woburn and Revere more often than not, like in my 20s.
NWA New England, I think, did a lot of Revere shows.
Okay. Maybe I saw him.
So you might have seen him.
Might have.
Back then, he was Latin Fury Luis Ortiz.
Oh, okay, then. You know, that actually does sound a little familiar, so now I wouldn't be surprised.
There you go.
I'm actually shocked I would ever go to Revere to watch wrestling, knowing based on how old I was and knowing what happened a few years back with mass transit, and yet still I found myself at Wonderland a bunch.
I was at that show. Still, I have told that story before.
Yeah, that. No, we're not going to talk about that. that story's got enough play in wrestling podcast lore.
Yeah, no shit, right?
But we should talk
about... But how many of them have a first-hand account of what happened when they were there?
Yeah, that's a good point. We'll do a rundown sit-down with you soon enough, buddy.
Nobody wants to hear that. I talk enough on this show.
I'm sure you have stories upon stories, though.
I'm
not sure how much you would like be telling them, but you could always just like make up stuff. That's what we do in the shoot interviews, right?
I actually did do a sit-down interview a while, like... Yeah, a few years ago, pre-pandemic, with Leo Connors on The Ring and Other Sports. If you want to check that out on YouTube, it's on there.
Very
so,
nice.
Yeah, told a bunch of stories on there.
Oh, there you go. All right, so where do you want to start this week, buddy? I know you weren't here the past couple weeks, so you do have a lot to talk about.
So I
want to
start by correcting you two motherfuckers last week.
Oh, so you're talking about me and Troy?
Yes.
Okay, I admit it. Dana Brooke looked good this week in her outfit.
Yes, well, that we'll get to that a little bit later. I can't remember a recent match with better combination of outfits between the competitors. The only thing that comes close in my mind, well, there was the, ironically enough, the Saudi Arabia, was it Women's Elimination Chamber, where they all sort of put a little extra on the outfits, and Rhea came out in her latex dominatrix thing. Then there was the Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley tag team outfit from, was it WrestleMania? That was pretty nice, too. But this week was good.
Anyway, what about Dana and Mandy at Mania? Remember that? The pink?
Yeah.
That was good, man.
Yeah, it was good, too. Yeah. But, yeah, Cora and Dana had a good week in terms of outfits this week. But anyway, I want to talk to you guys because, well, you here, Troy's not here, but he had a lot to say about it, too. I enjoyed the Adam Cole MJF segment last week that you guys ripped apart.
No, I said it made me chuckle at one point.
I know it might sound weird. Maybe I'm like the old school curmudgeon guy on old guy on this network, and you know, when I was in wrestling, this is how we did it. And that's not Well, I guess I do tend to go that route a lot of the time.
Yeah, but if you're defending this, you're definitely not.
But the reality of it is, and I think the thing that gets lost in all of this, and I thought it was well done, actually. Daniel Garcia goes and does his dance in MJF's face.
Yeah.
The referee goes to ring the bell, and MJF stops him. Then proceeds to start the dance off.
Okay.
This was all pre-match. It wasn't like they stopped in the middle of a wrestling match to do it. Fuck difference does it make if this was a backstage segment or if it was done in the ring. If it wasn't during a match, it's all fought. It's all fair game for me. It was funny. I can't watch WWE and some of the goofy shit that they do and criticize this. This, to me, is more fun and entertaining than a lot of what happens on AEW. This is not Pockets fucking doing his kip up in his fucking jeans and then sticking his hands in his pockets for the 8,000th fucking time. This was something new, creative, funny. I was entertained. My only criticism of this is that the same people who are fucking over the moon AEW fans for this are going to tell you that it's stupid when WWE does similar things.
Right.
Looking at you, JD from New York, you piece of shit.
Okay, so I'm gonna tell you that I don't care which company does it. When it's on TV, it's pointless, and this is not the first time that two guys have danced in a ring in AEW. This isn't even the first time that MJF did it. Fuck, didn't he get nominated for a Tony or something with that shit with Jericho?
Well, that was a backstage segment. That was like a pre-tape.
Fine, but Look, again, you want to do this shit on Dark when it's like a YouTube show and nobody cares? Go for it. But you have an hour of this show dedicated to your blood and guts match, which means everything else is getting crushed for time, including the women's match, which we already discussed. But no, let's have a 5-minute dance off because it's funny. Like, fuck, come on. I don't know.
But feeling oozy was fine where we laughed in the ring for 10 minutes straight and didn't really accomplish anything, right?
It was still part of the story, and that was off the cuff.
So like, is this. This is part of the story of MJF and Adam Cole finding their way to being friends. Which, by the way, I think is going to take the turn nobody expects where Adam Cole turns on MJF and not the other way around. But that is part of the story. That is what they're doing.
Do you think that I was correct when I said that MJF is literally putting on a year-long audition for WWE?
I think he's already signed an extension with AEW.
Really? I mean, it just seems all this sports entertainment stuff, it literally seems like he's trying to show them his range.
I mean, they're more sports entertainment than any of their fans would ever love you to like to admit.
Sure, but MJF doesn't have to play that card. Do you know what I mean?
He doesn't have to, but it's what he's always been good at, even going back to the indies. He's not a blow you away in the ring wrestler. You know who he's very comparable to, actually?
I always thought he was See, he gives me that old school heel feel. So the way you hate him is like a Rick Rude, and I'm not saying he's like Rick Rude, but like the way you hate him because he's
I'm going to give you a more contemporary comparison.
Okay.
He's LA Knight. Incredibly charismatic. The crowd cares about him, and the amount that the crowd cares about him is what keeps him over. His ring work is serviceable, but not great.
Yeah, but I wouldn't trust LA Knight to go an hour with Danielson and have a good match, and MJF did.
I mean, I think you could put a broomstick in the ring with Danielson and you get a good match for an hour and a half.
Fair.
Or Kenny Omega's sex doll. So, I mean, you know, who knows?
That's fine. I get it that a lot of people liked the dance off. I just thought it was a little.
Again, I think if
if I'm watching it and they stop in the middle of a match that's already underway and do it, I probably feel differently about it.
Oh, that being said, I had forgotten that he told her not to ring the bell yet. I had thought that the bell had already rang when I when I was talking about it last week. So good pickup.
Yeah. All right, so that was the first thing I wanted to get out of the way. What's the first thing you want to talk about this week, Sal?
Tribal combat. Let's go. Holy shit, that segment was fire.
Okay.
First of all, I feel like Jey Uso is getting the crowd behind him. He's always had the crowd behind him, but they're really getting hot for him now.
Yeah.
And I loved how when he dropped the tribal combat, Roman was like, do the elders know about this? And he's like, it was their idea. Like, at work, that shit was perfect.
Yep.
And it also makes sense. We've been doing this tribal chief story, and we've been intricately including Jey as the next tribal chief. So they're going to fight for the fucking flower lay thing, the red thing.
Well, and you know what I think. What else I think is going to be interesting about this, based on the way that segment played out, is I think we're going to find out that tribal combat means that nobody else can get involved.
Yes, which is why Roman grabbed Solo's arm.
Right, right. Similar to, and for those Marvel fans out there, you'll remember this when in Black Panther, when T'Challa was fighting Killmonger. And Killmonger was about to kill him, but nobody could stop it because they're fighting for the crown, basically. So I think that's what we're going to find out. I mean, I think that's what that Roman thing stopping Solo was all about, and the handshake between the two. So that's going to make that certainly adds another layer to the story, because how many of Roman's defenses have come at the hands of Solo helping him win? Obviously, WrestleMania did. Mm-hmm. But it also takes Jimmy Uso out of the equation. So, going to be interesting to see how they do this.
And it literally does have that Black Panther feel, where it's like, these two dudes are going to fight for the crown. Whoever's left standing wins. And to this point, I don't think there's been
Samoan
a 101
Sex Panther.
I don't think
it works 50% of the time, 100% of the time.
I don't think there's been a more personal match for Roman Reigns than this. Literally, everything he is on the line. Story.
I mean, I guess that was sort of the same thing when he faced Jey in Hell in a Cell, too, right?
Sure, but they didn't call it tribal combat then. So.
No, but it was the title. They basically said he's going to knock him off being tribal chief and blah, blah. So I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be fun. I don't think there's much of an opportunity for Jey to win the title.
No, but like you
again,
said, with
and,
no...
And this is the caveat I go back to every single time. This story, this match would be great if Cody was defending the title against Brock Lesnar still.
100% agree.
This does not need the title.
Like we said, the night after Mania, you do what you did with Brock and Cody, and we are still where we are at SummerSlam, and it's perfect. So,
Do you think that ranks? Where do you think that ranks on the all-time swing and miss by WWE?
Honestly,
now I say this now, and 8 months from now, I could be completely wrong, and it could be the best fucking. They could do it in a way that makes it the best fucking thing to ever happen. But as of now, to me, it's pretty high on the list of swing and misses.
Okay, before I answer where it is on the list, I'm going to say right now that they have put the next moment under a microscope. So every tiny thing that might not be perfect, we're going to bitch about. Because they did that to themselves. Because if they come out and Cody's entrance is kind of sucks and it's raining and nobody's really singing, we're gonna instantly say, "Oh, they had it last year. Should have done it last year." You know what I mean?
Right.
And if the match isn't as good, we're gonna fucking compare it. So right now it ranks.
The crowd isn't as hot for Cody as they are right now.
Yeah. Right now,
which I said at the time, if you remember my first post WrestleMania rant. You cannot guarantee the fans' reactions. You knew they were hot as a pistol for Cody going into that match.
You can't. It's not. So far, to this point, they have remained. There is no telling where they will be by the time next year's WrestleMania rolls around.
There is no telling what will set it off either. It could be any crowd, any point from now till next April that just doesn't feel like listening to Cody's shtick that night. And then once one crowd does it on TV, then a few more people start to do it at the next show.
Sort of what happened to him in AEW.
Yes, that is 100% correct. It wasn't everybody booing him all at once. It was
slow. Yeah.
Then they're going to have to find someone else, God forbid. But the other problem is
not Cody, then who?
I don't know, man. It's going to maybe Jimmy. It's going to take a little bit of...
If you're going to an Uso, it's Jay. Jay's the better of the two.
Well, then you're going to need something with someone else that's like...
But see, and here's the other thing, watching this thing with Jay Uso, and you guys sort of, I thought, touched on it a little bit, that you know maybe they should have pulled the trigger at one of the other points along the way here. And I know a lot of people have said that, and I've said that about the Cody thing, and I still stand by that. But the people, to me, who stay there and say that they miss the opportunity by not putting the title on Sammy. And to those people, I say what they recognized is the same thing I think I recognized and said on this show, as a matter of fact. Sammy is super over because of the Bloodline story, because he's opposite Roman. Is Sammy as over after the Bloodline story? And I think we've seen the resounding answer was no. Still over. Not that level of over. Jay will be the same way. Jay will be over going into SummerSlam. After he loses at SummerSlam, is Jay going to be as over? No. Cody lost at WrestleMania, and he's still that over. That's how you know he was the guy, and should still be.
Sure.
But Sammy wasn't the guy, and they recognized that.
The thing with Sammy, outside of Montreal, because obviously that was a whole other level... But
And if Roman's not on that historic streak, maybe you do a situation where he wins in Montreal and then flips the title back going into WrestleMania. But you don't end the streak on a one-off that's not going to be a long-term thing. You know what I mean?
I get that. The thing with Sammy was not only so super popular with the mainstream, but he's always been that indie darling.
Right.
So when people saw him start to get red hot, it was just like they did with Punk. It was just like they did with Daniel Bryan. They wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And they...
And Sammy in the storyline was great with Roman. It was a fantastic storyline, and it got everyone invested.
The way they told it, too, was amazing.
Yeah, and it got everyone invested. But again, without that storyline, can he stand? And I just don't... He's over. He's popular. But he's not that.
He's not getting the reactions he was 4 months ago.
He's not getting the reactions LA Knight is getting right now.
He's not. I mean, and again.
By the way, do you know what the top 5 merchandise sellers for WWE right now are?
Roman. Well, the Bloodline merch. Mm. No? Bloodline merch is not top selling? Okay.
No.
Hold on. Let me think. Rhea?
Top 5 t-shirts. So let's exclude the championship belts and all that shit.
Okay.
Top 5 t-shirts.
Thank you, Trish.
No.
No. I don't know. Go ahead. Tell me.
Number 1, the Cody. I think it's like complete your story or whatever. Finish your story, whatever it is. That's the number 1. The next 4 are LA Knight t-shirts.
Wow.
In various colors and types. But yeah.
A casual fan asked me the other day, when did he get so over? And I had to think about that because it wasn't coming out of the Bray Wyatt feud, and it definitely was not fighting with Xavier Woods. Was his moment when he came out there for the Money in the Bank build and he cut everybody down?
No, because he got the huge pop when his music played for that segment.
So when the fuck did he get over?
I think it's just been slowly.
Maybe.
Honestly. I think, first off, I think when he went from Max Dupree to LA Knight, you started to hear it.
Oh, yeah.
And then the LA Knight segments with Bray Wyatt, you started to hear it. And so I think it's been a slow build of it to this point, and now it's just, you know, people in wrestling and some of the stands in AEW will sit and tell you, oh, fucking Commander is a great wrestler, because first of all, he can do a bunch of flippy shit. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm a great wrestler. LA Knight doesn't need to do all that shit. He has a natural charisma, an innate ability to connect with the crowd, and a catchphrase that people are fucking into. Guess what?
Go ask Daniel Bryan what a catchphrase will do for you.
Right. And that will extend your career. You don't have to do the ridiculous shit. How many of all the Money in the Bank spots, how many of the ridiculous crazy bumps did LA Knight take?
One, maybe.
Maybe.
And that was the finish. Didn't Priest hit him with the South of Heaven off the ladder?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, but that's right.
That was it.
He didn't have to do a lot. He's still over. People want him. And to those people who are sitting there bitching like, oh, he should have won the fucking U.S. title tournament, blah, blah, blah. Who gives a fuck about the U.S. title?
I know.
It took me a second to even remember who the U.S. champion was at this point. To be honest with
you. Back to what we said last week.
Now, could the title be better on LA Knight? Sure, absolutely. But Santos winning the title means more for Santos than LA Knight winning it would mean for LA Knight. LA Knight is sort of in that Roddy Piper spot where he's so over now he doesn't need a title.
You're absolutely correct. That's 100% true. There are some people who need the title to get to that next level, and there are some times where the guy can take the title to that next level. LA Knight, he's in his own stratosphere right now.
Right.
On his own, without anything.
Yes.
Without Money in the Bank, and I think that's where it was for me. I think people thought he was going to be Money in the Bank, and now that he's not, he actually even got more over.
Right.
Because people are just clamoring now for them to give him something. But
the same thing they did with Daniel Bryan. People clamored. They made people want it so fucking bad. And I think what people forget is when people can unite around, I want this, you're denying it to me, it unifies those people together, and it makes the guy more over. People think, oh, you're missing the boat. They're not missing the boat. They're fucking building the dock, dude. Like,
also, it's funny to me. Look, I can really appreciate good wrestling. I'm a guy who watched people like Dean Malenko and William Regal and Eddie Guerrero, and I can tell you like when someone's really good in the ring, and it's fun to watch. But as long as I've been watching this business, that's not what makes money. It's not. Right. The top guys in the fucking past four decades have not had your blow away five-star match. Right. Like Austin, when he was going on his, he had that match with Bret, but that was even before everything.
That wasn't a five-star match either.
No, but it was good. It was really good. But
no,
but,
it was a five-star match. It just wasn't according to the one person who gets to decide what's a five-star match. In 3 years, AEW is about to have more five-star matches than WWE has had in their entire existence. That tells you all you need to know about
this guy. That tells you all you need to know.
Star rating. Shawn Michaels has never had a five-star match, I think. No, sorry. Kurt Angle never had a five-star
match. But tell me the last time, or tell me the Stone Cold Steve Austin match that you went back and watched after he won the title. Like,
do you want to know the Stone Cold Steve Austin match that I went back and watched a bunch of times?
Which one?
2 out of 3 falls with Dustin Rhodes for the television championship at Clash of the Champions in WCW.
Like I said, after he won the WWF championship.
But that's my point. That's what I'm saying. To me, that was when he was at his wrestling peak.
Sure.
That was when he was at his best in the ring.
But that's not when the masses wanted him. No. When he was at his most popular, he was basic in the ring.
Right. Yeah.
But that's what they call main event style. When you don't have to do anything because you're that over.
Yeah.
And LA Knight's there.
Yeah.
You know what he needs, though? He needs a good feud. He needs, like, a really good feud.
I'm curious to see if they build something for SummerSlam.
Fun.
Riddle? I think they want him sort of more against heels at this point. Even though he's not, like, your overt babyface, I think they want him sort of working against heels.
Let's bring Bray Wyatt back. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I know you say that. I know how you feel about that.
Watch for the end of the Cody match. That's all I'm saying.
Interesting. Speaking of Cody and people who are loosely affiliated with Cody, I heard a rumor that the Viper is on his way back. In fact,
I mean, you've heard this rumor for the last 4 months. He's been supposed to have been returning at every fucking pay-per-view since WrestleMania.
Yeah, but SummerSlam historically is the time when people do make that return.
Yeah, so will Bray Wyatt.
It would be interesting to say the least.
Anyway, speaking of Cody, as we were for a moment ago, if you haven't seen it, the preview for his WWE special that's coming up, I think July 31st, looks absolutely fantastic.
Oh, it's like must watch. Like, I need to watch that as soon as it comes out. It looks that good.
Yeah, so check that out if you haven't seen the preview yet. Go find the trailer.
But it's funny because we're talking about great wrestling and people who are over and don't need to do all the flips. Ricochet is a very talented and athletic wrestler.
We're very early into the show to be talking about Ricochet, but go ahead.
Well, it's just because it transitioned. He tried. He really tried in his promo with Logan Paul, especially before Logan Paul came out there. I don't know. It just didn't work for me.
I mean, maybe I'm just used to Ricochet promos. It didn't bother me.
But you know there's not something there. Like, you're not sitting there going like, oh, that's good. That's good shit right there.
There's a difference between being charismatic in your ring performance and in your delivery as a promo, as an orator. Some people have the ability to do both. He is very charismatic as an in-ring performer. He's not super charismatic when he talks.
I apologize. You're right. It is a little bit early to be jumping all over there.
But I just have no interest in talking about the Logan Paul Ricochet thing. I actually look forward to the match. I think the match will be fun.
Yep.
But I'm just like so over the build to this. I was hoping for something more out of this, and it's just been.
I was hoping there's nothing different. There.
There's really no substance to it. There's really no reason for these two to hate each other other than what you botched a move. That's what this whole feud is about. There haven't been that thing to connect me to, you know. They're certainly not, you know, Cody finish your story or any of that stuff. It's just like, oh hey, I like to do flippy shit too. Cool. Even for Logan Paul, his whole thing was he's on his way to being a big champion. You know, Ricochet is going to get you that next title shot, beating Ricochet. That's not even fucking put you in contention for the fucking women's tag team titles, which apparently everybody wears now. You saw this floating around this week, right?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Which one? There were a few. So Cody was caught backstage doing an interview or a conversation with somebody holding the women's tag team championship.
I saw that one.
And then Matt Cardona came to the ring at a DDT Pro show wearing the women's championship tag team championship belt. So,
is he even allowed to do that?
I'm assuming they cleared it, but Cardona's on good terms with WWE. He hangs out backstage.
All right, whatever. No, I saw what Cody did, the fucking guy. Speaking of Cody,
he did finally get a title. Does that count as finishing the story?
Huh? Oh, by the way, the women's tag belts, I noticed something the other day. They don't have nameplates on them. They don't even have side plates that they change. There are side plates that have the WWE logo. They've never been changed, no matter who the champ was.
I don't give a shit about the changing side plates. But you know what I did notice this week?
What's that?
The NXT tag team titles were the ones that never changed to color splash. They're still the same belts they always were. They changed the men's titles and the women's titles. They never changed the tag titles.
God knows why. But let's get back. Where did you want to go next?
Let's see. What happened on the world of wrestling that we should talk about? Let's just run through SmackDown. We talked about the U.S. title thing. We talked about the Tribal Combat. I thought Charlotte and Io had a nice match.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed that.
And Io continuing the fine tradition of Money in the Bank winners not being able to win any matches. Takes the pinfall to natural selection. But again, so this is the point we talked about. She has the briefcase. She doesn't need to win these matches.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what happens, she's going to be viewed as a threat because she has the briefcase.
But it was a nice showcase for her and Charlotte. And I don't think they've ever hooked up before.
No, and I loved – well, I mean, I loved the appearance of Asuka at the end, too, the arm bar out of nowhere. That was cool. So there was that. That was pretty good. Do you have anything on that one?
I thought it was a good match. I liked that they gave Io the out, that it wasn't her fault again that she lost. But I thought the way they booked that finish I thought was really smart, and it looked good. It was almost like she turned right into the natural selection. And then it was almost, you know, it was like it nothing else she could do. She couldn't have blocked it. It was just something. Charlotte was perfect position right there. 1, 2, 3. Loved it.
Let's see. What else did we have? We did see this week the return of Pete Dunne to title contention as he once again went for an NXT title.
Yes, he did.
Taking on Dominic. What did you think of this one?
I think Dominic is underratedly doing some of the best character work I've seen from a heel in a long fucking time. And I'm talking the subtleties, the little things, like making faces and shit during, like, I love it. I love it, and Rhea's helping it right along. Butch, Pete Dunne, whatever you want to call him, obviously he's very talented. I would like to see him turn on Sheamus and just, not even turn, just break off from them, you know? And maybe Sheamus and Ridgey can be a tag team, and Pete Dunne can just kind of do his own thing.
Sheamus is surprisingly good in tag teams. He always has been, actually. Even like I was so against the formation of the Bar when they came, but by the time they were done, I'm like, this fucking team is so good together.
The Bar?
So, yeah.
I love
Did I say
bar.
It like that?
I love the Bar when they were done. Like you said, by the time, meaning by the time they were done, they were really a great tag team.
Yeah.
Do you remember why they put them together?
Because the best of seven series.
Yeah, and the seventh match like went to like a double count out of something, right?
Yeah, the one where they did the draft from Worcester. I was actually at that show, and they did one of the best seven matches there. I was on TV at that point.
Oh, hey. Making his television debut.
All right, so let's just stay sequential here, and we'll talk a little bit about AEW, I'm going to say Collision. I know what we typically refer to it as here. The Ricky Starks and CM Punk thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure how I feel about this. Because, yes, CM Punk put over Ricky Starks to win the Open, and that's great. I don't see Ricky Starks winning this feud, though.
Nope. I said it last week. If he turns around and he gets his win back at All In, then it's not really meaning anything.
And I don't think this is good for Ricky Starks. I did like some of the lines in his promo. Like, oh, you can't tell me you've never cheated to win anything, which is true. I loved when he said something like, you can take being a pillar and shove it up your ass. I don't want to be a pillar. Like, I love it. Because realistically, other than MJF, what the fuck have any of the other pillars really done in this company? Jungle Boy, they couldn't find a title to put on him, so they gave him the FTW title. That's what it is. That's the other thing. They keep adding more titles so that all these people who everybody says should be a champion, they can just throw a title on them without having to take it off of anybody else. It's great. It's
good. Like Claudia.
Yeah, exactly. But I also loved Christian, and Christian continues to be one of the most entertaining guys in the fucking business. He comes out, and they talked about, first off, Ricky Starks said something about fighting for what's in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, I go back to how idiotic this whole bag thing is.
What's in the bag?
Right. If we know what it is, you're telling us it's the fucking championship belt. We know what it looks like. There's really no reason to keep it concealed. Right? The swerve is going to be that it's going to be something not.
the championship belt. It's going to be something other than that.
It's going to be like the CM Punk title. Sobriety.
But in the event, at some point, Christian comes out to set up the main event and says something like, what kind of man carries around a title he didn't win?
I know! That was really amazing.
Oh, so fucking good at that.
Oh, when he said that he had the TNT belt on his shoulder.
Right, exactly. And then at one point, Darby might have been like, who's the actual TNT champion? And Christian's like, me! I mean him, not me. Like,
okay.
So good. I actually don't hate that part of the story.
I did want to talk to you about that because Darby comes out there.
I have no interest in Darby Allin.
But I'm sitting here going, why the fuck is Darby here on Collision? I know they don't have split rosters, but he has no business right now here on
Collision. What do you mean? Oh, hold on. You don't watch Rampage. So you were not hip to the fact that the night before, Darby Allin won the Royal Rampage to earn himself the shot at the TNT title
at All In. Fine. But he also acted like CM Punk was his best friend. This is my friend, CM Punk. Dude, it seemed to me like a desperate cry for Tony to be like, don't boo him. Please don't boo Punk. Please, we need him to sell stuff. Don't boo him. Please don't boo him. Here's Darby Allin.
I still boot him.
I know.
So while we're on AEW, the AEW topic, and there's something else we'll talk about from Collision as well. All In, in Wembley, is trending towards 75,000 seats. Now, whether you believe those numbers or they're actual fans purchasing them or Tony's buying the tickets, whatever. That's immaterial to me because we never know when that's the case with Vince either. What does surprise me, for example, tonight's AEW Dynamite was held in a 17,000 seat arena. Their maximum seats were under 4,000.
Oof.
And they were still 100,000 short of selling that out, I think. Or 500, I think, last I looked. So 3,500-ish. And this is not for Rampage. This is not for a house show. This is for fucking Dynamite. So while AEW fans will get on their high horse and they'll brag about Wembley and 75,000, and that's, don't get me wrong, that's a fantastic gate. It's the first time they've been in England. And as we've seen with this company, the first time is always a big draw. If they can't fill a 4,000 seat, or they can't even sell the seats at the arena, but they have to cut it off at a 4,000 capacity and they still can't sell that bitch out. I don't care how many seats you sell at Wembley. At some point, you have to have business domestically too. And it is tailing off. Blood and guts. Six fucking guys, 12 fucking guys, 5, 10 guys, whatever the fuck it was, went out there and damn near killed each other. Fucking taking moonsaults and shit on beds of nails. And they still didn't draw a million. NXT is consistently beating every show they have except Dynamite, and the Dynamite numbers are getting close. Meanwhile, SmackDown, this past week, did 1.2 million, which in and of itself is not remarkable. I mean, they do over a million pretty much every week. But what made it remarkable this time is they did it on FS1, and they've never done it on FS1.
Not Fox, exactly.
Not even close to 1.2 on FS1. Tony was sitting there with his dick in his hand ready to type the tweet of how they beat SmackDown this week.
And they didn't.
And they couldn't. They weren't even close.
No.
Collision did about half of what SmackDown did. So, there are problems here. There are big problems. And I have not yet been to a live AEW show, but I know people who have, and they say it's a really good time, and it's fun. But obviously, the people are not buying tickets. And that, to be fair, and in AEW's defense, and I will say this,
I think one of AEW's biggest problems is that they have chosen to run in certain markets too often. And I feel like they've oversaturated the Chicago market, for example. The Northeast is another one I think they've oversaturated. They're back in Connecticut next week after they were in Boston last week. Florida, obviously, they've oversaturated. But there are still markets where they haven't ever been, and I think they would still do well for first-time sales. But they need to readjust what they're doing. They need to figure something out if they're going to keep this thing going.
On one hand, I will say
they're trending to TNA status at this point in terms of live attendance.
And TNA stopped touring because they realized they couldn't. And it would not shock me if
They've said with Tony has said with Collision, he thinks they'll probably start pulling back on the house show ideas.
Sure. No, okay, so here's the thing, though, right? In this day and age, perception can be reality. And if you protect your brand, sometimes you can still generate buzz. So if they can go on TV and they can say, we're at the Boston Garden tonight, and we got a packed house, and they keep the shot tight, is that good for their brand? I think it could be in terms of advertisers, right? Maybe. They got to do something to bring in revenue. They have to. So whatever the they have is, to do.
We talked about this in the host thread. The problem they have is that anything that happens at the arena is no longer – everything that happens in the arena becomes canon.
Right.
And we talked about the whole shaking hands with the BCC and the Elite. Now, they ended up putting that on Being the Elite this week anyway, so they absolutely put it out there themselves.
Right.
But anything that happens in the arena now is canon. And I said this to Adam several years ago, I think, when Tony Khan delivered stunners to his talent in front of the live crowd.
I remember that.
And I said, I hate this idea. He said, well, it's after the show. I said, it doesn't matter if it's after the show. It's in front of the crowd. It's going to get out there. It's going to be on the internet. It's going to be on YouTube. It's going to be canon. And this is sort of the same thing. Because what happens is you rent these huge arenas that you can't possibly fill. And what do we see every single Thursday, Sal?
We see the pitchers come out of the other side of the arena 90% empty.
And that becomes canon.
Sure. I don't disagree with you, but I do have to ask you this. Are we to assume that the majority of the people that financially support AEW are diehard AEW fans?
I think they're a majority, sure.
Okay. Because
I don't think they do a great job of luring in casual fans, if that's the question.
No, I don't think they do necessarily, but if I'm someone who doesn't watch the week to week and I don't read the dirt sheets and I'm just flipping through and I see Moxley on TV fighting Kenny Omega or something, I'm going to assume they're doing great. You know what I mean?
Most of those people are going to go, hey, who the fuck is Dean Ambrose? Who's that guy Dean Ambrose is fighting?
I'm just saying that, like,
actually, this came up this week because somebody pushed Dave Meltzer about how you can try to convince yourself all you want that Kenny Omega is a star in this country. He's not. To which Meltzer said, I disagree, and I can tell you why, because at one point in New York, I was walking down the street with Tanahashi, and nobody really knew who he was, but they knew he looked different. They were excited, and they wanted to take pictures with him. I'm like, you literally said nobody knew who he was.
Yep.
The fact that he looks like somebody doesn't help your product at all.
No.
Nobody knowing who he was is a problem, and it's the same problem that AEW has. Yeah, their stands know all their talents and all their storylines, and people shit on WWE all the time, and I understand it gets annoying the degree to which they reiterate what happened earlier in the show and last week and blah, blah, blah. But if you're not watching every week, they feel it's their job to bring you up to speed on what they're about to show you.
Mm-hmm.
AEW requires you to do too much homework to be a regular fan.
Correct.
And the casual fans don't give a shit to go watch NJPW to know who's fucking wrestling on Forbidden Door. They don't give a shit.
Ah. So that brings me full circle, because if the Stans are the one funding this company and keeping them afloat, they don't give a shit about the empty pit, about the arenas with the empty seats. They don't give a shit about what everybody normal is telling them about what's wrong with this company. They're going to keep pouring money into it.
But they're not the ones they need to pour money. They need to get the advertisers on board. As the ratings continue to drop, guess what happens to advertisers?
Sure.
That's where... And when the advertisers go away, what happens with the network?
Oh, yeah, forget it.
The TV deal goes away, what happens?
Well, we said that, but we are in 2023, which means they survived the first TV deal.
Okay, so I will say this. AEW has been incredibly fortunate in one regard. Shortly after they debuted, the pandemic started. They were one of the only forms of live entertainment every week, new live entertainment every week. WWE, too, they benefited from it, too, don't get me wrong. Their production costs were non-existent, essentially, because they were running all the shows out of Daly's place. They didn't have to worry about selling tickets because nobody was allowed to be there. And they were allowed to draw ratings. And they still didn't get enough eyeballs on the product when they were one of the only games in town to keep themselves over a million. Or they drew the million and people were like, nah. But then fast forward a little bit. Now you're sitting here and you're saying, well, yeah, but the pandemic is over now and people are back to doing things and there's a lot. Except now we're sitting in the middle of a SAG and AFTRA strike. But there is no new programming. And guess what becomes very popular? Non-scripted television like this. Reality shows that don't require writers and pro wrestling that have their own.
Right.
Those are the things that don't get stopped by this type of strike.
So, for whatever... Look.
And sports obviously do very well.
For whatever reason, and yeah, a lot of it is probably luck, not business sense. But AEW has moved to their second TV deal. And
have they? They haven't announced that yet.
It's 2023, man. They only signed a 4-year deal in 2018, right?
That was the gimmick. I've been told by a bunch of dirt sheets over and over again that they were going to announce a new TV deal. It was a huge money increase and blah, blah, blah.
And so, maybe they do it right after Wembley. Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe they do it at Wembley.
Maybe. Because Lord knows he would love the fucking press about it.
If they didn't do it at Wembley, they'd have to do it at the pay-per-view that's happening a week after.
Yeah, I know.
Pay-per-views 2 weeks in a row.
I have a feeling Wembley's going to be like the early Saudi shows, where it's just going to be... It's not going to be canon at all for the storylines going into All Out.
Well, they haven't booked the fucking thing for either show yet.
So. I noticed, which is concerning, because even if you...
They did it on the show tonight after we started recording, so don't at me if they did, but...
Let me say this. If you are planning on getting any of those 75,000 to come back the next time you go to England, maybe put on a good show.
All right, anyway, enough about business strategy for AEW. Getting back to Collision, have we seen the end of Daddy Ass?
It's about damn time.
does this strike to you as storyline or real?
I hope it's real. It strikes me as storyline. It's got storyline written all over it. I would like to think it's real only for the simple fact that this is a guy who, 10 years ago when he was in TNA, was complaining about his back and his knees.
And I know he and his crack.
Yeah. And I know he keeps himself in great shape. The roids help. But goddamn, Billy, what else you got left to prove? You've been doing this for 30 fucking years now.
First off, the merch sales he's getting off those Daddy Ass shirts are probably pretty fucking good. But secondly, you got to admit the acclaimed have sort of revived Billy Gunn's career.
A lot more than his sons ever could.
Exactly. But maybe hang on to that for a little bit longer. I don't know. We'll see how this plays out. But if it is the end for Billy Gunn, it's a hell of a career. And, you know, obviously, congratulations.
Well, hats off to him. But like you said, to start this, it screams storyline. And it feels like this is going to be a story of how they get the Trios titles.
Yeah, it could be. It wouldn't shock me at all. There was one other thing from Dynamite that I wanted to talk about. Oh, yes. We have...
From Dynamite or from Collision?
Sorry, Collision.
Okay.
We make jokes on this podcast because it's sort of what we do. We're a comedy show, essentially.
Sure. We try to be funny.
A wrestling-themed comedy show. As Sal has told you a couple weeks ago, the show's only funny when I'm on it, but...
Sure. Kidding. Don't edit that out.
I'm not editing that out at all. In fact, that's the bumper for the show this week. But it's not our job to be serious. Our job is to sit here and like, entertain you. We're not presenting ourselves as legitimate characters. I feel like AEW has now, and the character herself, have now taken to putting Sky Blue on TV every week for the incels.
Yeah, she's pretty popular right now.
One particular part of her is more popular than half that fucking locker room.
Okay, but she's been on TV just as much as Willow Nightingale has.
No, Willow Nightingale has not been on TV as much as she has.
Sure she has.
Not of late.
If we take the past couple months, like
if you count Ring of Honor, but nobody counts that shit.
I'm talking about just Dynamite and Collision.
Nope, you're wrong.
And you go back to January 1st.
How far back do you
want
to go?
January 1st.
All right.
January 1st.
Now you have to vamp, so.
I think, I'm just going to let it out there. I think if you go back to January 1st, the TV matches, which I guess would be Rampage, Dynamite, and Collision, they're close. It's not this blowout that you think it is. I believe they're close.
Now, to be fair, Sky Blue's popularity has really started the last few months, but... All right, keep going. I'm looking it up.
All right, so...
January 1st is the cutoff you're looking for, right?
Yes. So, okay, I will say this also about Collision. Bullet Club Gold beat Action Andretti and Darius Martin. That seems like such a fucking... step backwards.
And just
from
TV
their
shows,
FTR
are not
match.
Including pay per views, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
All
right. January 1st.
I love Bullet Club Gold. Well, I love Jay White. I think he's very talented. But dude, you're gonna have a fucking hour long match
of
the year.
Because this shit counts dark.
I know. You're gonna have an hour long match of the year with fucking FTR, and then come back the next week and face Action Andretti and Darius Martin. Why? Also, Miro defeated Nick Camarado. So, yeah, Miro. Was that what Miro's doing now? Is he fighting QT's guys? Is that his deal? I don't like it, personally. I don't like it.
Willow Nightingale is at 10.
Okay. This is going all the way back to January 1st. She's at 10. Okay.
I'm not counting dark appearances. So.
Fine.
Go ahead, keep going.
Yeah, we talked about Billy Gunn taking his boots off, calling it a career. Who knows? I feel like it is a storyline. It's going to lead to him doing something at All Out. It's definitely not going to be a singles championship, so... Given the fact that it happened during the match with the House of Black, I'm assuming that we're going to... try to build this great moment where Billy Gunn becomes a champion again with the Trios titles. I'm not there for that. I don't think Billy Gunn should be having a championship in 2023. Even if it is the Trios titles, I like them perfectly fine on House of Black. By the way, I had been saying Billy Gunn should probably retire since WrestleMania 30, when him and Road Dogg trotted their old asses out there and teamed with Kane and got beat by the Shield in 6 minutes.
Sky Blue is at 12.
Total?
Yep.
Okay, so like I said, it's not a blowout.
So Willow Nightingale's been on more than Sky Blue. She has not.
Wait, you counting this week? Did you count Did you count this episode of Dynamite?
Is she on this week's Dynamite? I don't know.
I didn't watch it. I thought you were going to watch it.
How was the Ron Cage match?
Whatever. So it's close. It is close.
Seldom
like
right
you said,
wrong again, Albert.
I said close. I said it was going to be close. It was not going to be the blowout you think it was going to be, is my exact words. Anyway, what's wrong with Sky Blue? You don't like Sky Blue? I love seeing Sky Blue on my TV.
Great. I'm just saying.
She's the new flavor of the month. I remember one month they did this with Penelope Ford when she was on like for two months straight.
Yeah. But my point is, are there more talented? I mean, Ruby Soho is not on as much anymore. So who are we catering to? Are we catering to wrestling fans, or are we starting to be WWE-ish in which we'll put a slightly less over girl who has a really nice appearance over somebody who's maybe not going to be as friendly on the eyes but is a better, more established wrestler?
Where would you put Toni Storm in that category? A little bit of both, right? She's been a really good wrestler in Japan for decades, you know.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Sky Blue can't wrestle, because she can't. She's young and she's still learning, and you know, she doesn't have that thing yet. But she's also, I mean, she's leading into it to her credit. I don't know if you saw it. At one point, first off, the shorts have gotten significantly shorter, obviously. Yep. But there was one point where Jungle Boy cut his promo about, you know, banging the hottest bitch in the back or something like that, talking about Anna Jay. And Sky Blue simply tweeted a picture of her with her boyfriend from Aussie Open and her ass hanging out and said, nope. So she's leaning into it too. And good for her. Make your money, get your notoriety while you can. I don't have a problem with that. I think we focus all the time on the things that AEW does differently than WWE, and I think the reality is they do more things similar than people want to believe.
Dude, Anna Jay and Ty Mello have a job because of what they look like, not because of what they can do in a ring. Let's be honest here.
Oh, no, but the stands will fall over themselves telling you how good Ty Mello has gotten in the ring. By the way, one thing I did catch tonight, and I am disappointed at this individual. One thing I did catch on tonight's Dynamite, and I'm sure we'll talk about the show next week as we're recording it while it's going on. But before I came down to record,
Don't say his name.
What?
I don't know who you're going to talk about. I'm really worried you're going to talk about one particular person. I don't know.
No, I'm going to talk about the good doctor. Britt Baker.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to talk about Kenny Omega. I was going to be, God damn it, what did Kenny Omega do now?
Because she made a comment during her promo about how it's going to be, TBS is going to be the Brit show. Jade Cargill's been doing that for fucking 2 years. That bitch show, the TBS title, we've been doing this for 2 years.
No, it's different now. No, it's the Brit show. See, theirs goes like this. Ding, 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 ding.
You know what? Half of our fucking audience has no idea what that reference is. But
the other half will laugh their balls.
Exactly. Kurt Loder somewhere is fucking cracking up. But anyway, yeah, no, like, really? I always gave Britt credit for at least being original. She's just flat out stealing this shit now.
I always gave Britt credit for trying hard and having a presence, but as far as being original, I never really gave her credit for that. I feel like she stole a bunch of stuff when she first started this heel character.
What's your favorite Britt heel character moment?
Dude, you got to go all the way back to when she first turned heel and she had she was in the wheelchair with Rebel and shit. Remember that?
Yes, but there's one moment from that period of time that has always stuck with me. And
which
I love
one
it.
Is yours?
I think Chris Statlander being an alien is a crock of shit.
Oh, yes! That was great! That was fucking great!
And now Chris Statlander has dropped the alien thing anyway, so.
There you go.
But yeah, anyway. All right, let's get back to WWE and check in on Raw. Sal, what did you have from Raw?
Monday Night Raw! Cody once again takes a personal situation, takes 20 minutes to do it, uses a lot of big words, but somehow still keeps the crowd with him and gets his point across. But it was interesting that he made certain guarantees that he ends this with Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, and it definitely sounds like he's going to win, but no.
Or Bray Wyatt could cost him the match.
Maybe. But But that doesn't that still make you go back in your guarantee? You told me you were gonna put the beast down like a rabid animal.
Oh. Yeah, well, I mean, he also told us he was going to finish his story at WrestleMania.
That's true. I do appreciate all the stuff he said about Florida and Dusty, because there is history there.
Yeah.
I didn't need to know about what Michelle Reynolds was doing in 1976 in Florida, but Cody
Did
made
you just call her Michelle Reynolds?
That's what he called her.
Runnels.
Sorry.
Dusty Runnels was Dusty Rhodes' real name.
Okay, well, in my mind, I wasn't saying R-E-Y-N-O-L-D-S. I was saying R-U-N-N-E-L-S.
No, you weren't. You said Reynolds, motherfucker.
I know how they... I know what Dustin Reynolds' name looks like on a piece of paper. If I pronounce it wrong, it's my
accent. Still my favorite moment of this whole Cody run in WWE has been when someone asked him if he's related to Lana Rhodes. Good.
He's like the porn star?
Yeah. It was Logan Paul.
Yes, it was. Logan Paul, it was Logan Paul.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Cody's promo this week?
It was good. It was the same Cody promo that we see most weeks. He's engaging. He gets the crowd into it. He tells his story. He has that ability similar to what The Rock did, that he doesn't use the same catchphrases in the way The Rock did and doesn't do the sing-along shit. But he has the ability when he walks out there to have the crowd in the palm of his hand. He can get whatever reaction he wants out of them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that I've always thought was incredibly impressive about Cody.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Drew McIntyre returned to confront Gunther. I like the fact that without hesitating, Gunther was like, I embarrassed you at WrestleMania.
And then Drew's like, fuck that, that was all Sheamus.
Yeah, right, he totally blamed Sheamus.
Fucking passed the heat right to Sheamus, I loved
it. That was great.
But,
dude.
We can't discuss this segment without the MVP of Raw this week.
Well, we have to get there, because he's like, all right, Gunther, you won't fight me, so maybe this fucking loudmouth next to you will fight me, and we get an impromptu match between Drew McIntyre and Ludwig Kaiser. At ringside, is Gunther and Vinci in front of the announcer's desk.
At which point, Corey Graves launches into the most hilarious impression of Ludwig Kaiser ever and does it consistently pretty much throughout the duration of the match.
To the point that I'm... Because they keep showing him doing it, and they keep showing Gunther and Vinci, and I'm like, Gunther's going to snatch him up, isn't he? But instead, because that wasn't scripted, Gunther had to sit there pretending to hear him.
Remember when the Dirt Sheets told us like 3 years ago that Corey Graves got cleared to wrestle and he's going to be returning to the ring?
Yeah. Well, what can you do?
Almost like they don't know what they're talking about.
Right. No, by the way,
do you want to know what Ahmed Johnson thinks about anything, Sal?
Well, let's just say he doesn't want to have any bull rope matches.
Check in with Wrestling Inc.
You no-sold my joke, and I'm not happy about it.
Yeah. After the whole Jason Aldean thing, I'm going to be careful.
Fair enough. Let's talk about Dirty Dom. Dirty Dom Mysterio. Why haven't we been calling him that all along? That's such a perfect fucking little nickname for him. Dirty Dom.
Yeah, we've been calling him that for months. So you like new to this?
No, I feel like they've been zeroing in on that, especially the past few weeks. Like ever since Money in the Bank, they've been zeroing in on that.
I've been hearing him call him that for a long time.
What? Finn Balor seems committed to winning.
I'll bet you they've called him that more times than Willow Nightingale's been on AEW television.
Oh, we're not going to look that up. So he gets the boos from the crowd. He was allowed to speak this week, though, in NXT, so I thought that was interesting. Because we talked about other
people. Well, NXT doesn't have 12,000 people drowning him out either.
Yeah, but nobody was really booing him. So.
They were. They did. A little bit.
Anyway.
Oh, that's the other thing we didn't talk about from SmackDown, by the way.
What?
So nothing, no furthering of the storyline with Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits that we saw the week before, but we did see Bobby Lashley chatting up Trick Mello Gang.
Yep. Yep. So
how do you feel about this notion of Bobby Lashley starting a stable of black wrestlers?
I don't have a problem with it. If that's what Bobby Lashley wants to do, he can do it. So, and it feels like he's interviewing people. Maybe he's looking for a certain something. Maybe Trick Mellow Game is the second of a few people that talk to. What?
Trick Mellow Gang, G-A-N-G, not game. But, it's funny because people will get all over him, but the reality is if you know anything about the history of Bobby Lashley, when he was released from WWE, he did a lot of work here on the indies, on the Connecticut, New York area, he did some big-time wrestling, and there was another, I think it was 2CW out in Jersey, New York area. And he did some work here in Massachusetts, and he had a group where he was aligned with friend of the show, good personal friend of mine, SWB, Slick Wagner Brown, and a guy named Bobby Ocean, who's another very talented young guy. And they had a group that they called Black Talented Wrestlers, BTW. It was sort of a knock on the big-time wrestling company. But This has been a gimmick that Lashley has done. Smooth Operating Gangsta Trey was in there, too, by the way. So, no, he likes his peanut butter smooth. But this has been a Lashley thing. This is not anything new. So people getting all up in arms, it's like this is something he's been doing on the indies when he was gone from WWE the first time. That's how old this idea is for him. So, yeah, he's going back to something he did before. I don't have a problem with that.
I don't have a problem with that at all. And I would love to see if MVP gets in the middle of this, too.
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen him in a while, but it would be nice because there is just, you can't.
And the Street Profits definitely need a change. They need something different.
They need something because it's getting stale.
And you've got sort of Lucian Price and Bronco Nima coming up from NXT who are sort of going to do similar. I don't want to say similar to the Street Profits because they are different, but it's sort of similar that street style gimmick that the Street Profits do.
And even so, it's time for the Street Profits to make a change some way. Because at this point, we've been doing the gimmick for 3 or 4 years now. Change.
Try 6 if you go back to NXT.
Oh, I was going to say, just on the main roster, we've been doing it for 3 or 4.
I don't know, they came up when Heyman was still in charge.
I remember him definitely on the Thunderdome, which would have been 2020. I remember them. Yeah, and they probably came up in like 2019, something like that, if I had to guess off the top of my head.
2016, if you count NXT time, but when did they debut on the main roster? March 16th, 2016 episode of NXT. October 11th. Doesn't say what year, it just says October 11th. Thanks for that. Go ahead, keep going.
Okay. Becky Lynch does not have to tattoo her chest, which I'm kind of glad because that would have been weird. Just saying, because you know she wouldn't have actually got Thank You Trish tattooed.
This said July. This says July of 2019. So.
So there you go.
So 4 years, not three. We're going to just title this episode, Sal's Wrong About Everything.
Or Jason Nitpicks Everything Sal Says.
That's too much.
Becky Lynch.
Much easier to just call it Sal's Wrong About Everything.
Becky Lynch is the one who will face Trish at SummerSlam. She got her way. She got her win back, which I knew she was going to. I mean, come on.
Well, actually, I will agree with you guys from last week. And I've made jokes about disagreeing with you guys, but I will agree with you that the whole tattoo thing was stupid because there was attach some stakes to it that are realistic.
Exactly. Yeah, you almost wonder if that was like set off the cuff or if like they botched that because it. What?
Yeah.
It made no fucking sense.
Well, you guys didn't point out that I found was interesting, and I don't know if it was better makeup this week, but she actually, Trish, when they took the mask off, actually did still have bruising on her nose.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago it showed. This week it didn't. So I don't know if she just put better makeup on or if she's just healing up. But
what bothered me about this, though, was how dead the crowd was for this match. And this is Becky Lynch. Usually the crowd gets up for her, but...
I thought Zoe Stark had a great accounting for herself, too, in this match.
Sure.
She looked great.
I don't, it just,
and it's funny because people forget that she literally came into the PC at the same time as Cora Jade and Gigi Dolin, and everyone thought both of the other two would be much bigger stars than Zoe Stark. And here she is sitting on the main roster, running the storylines with Trish and Becky Lynch, and the other two are still in NXT. No shade, but still impressive.
No shade, but she's definitely. She's got the physical build for the main roster more than a Cora Jade. And slightly more than Gigi, you know?
Gigi's got that sky blue thing going on, though.
Sure. But for WWE, they see Zoe, and they see somebody that looks like a friggin' a Charlotte Flair, almost. Or like a Rhea Ripley. Like, she's good. She's fucking...
Don't compare
anyone.
She's
solid. Yeah, I don't know. I just felt bad that the crowd didn't give a shit about this match.
Yeah. There'll be more time for this. And it was one of those ones where I think because, like you guys mentioned last week, it was sort of a preordained thing. Everybody knew what was going to happen, that it's hard to get into that stuff when you know what's going to happen.
Oh, by the way, they did not put a stip on the Brock-Cody match yet.
Right.
I know we still have a week.
Dirt Sheets told us they would, so we'll see.
I mean, logically, it would make sense that you can't just have three regular matches, right?
What stipulation do you put on this, though?
Let's assume a bull roll match if we're going to take it back, right? Or Hell in a Cell, but they would have advertised the shit out of that by now.
A lot of this feud has been centered around a Kimura lock. Do you think they go submission match?
They could, but they're doing a submission match next week at the Great American Bash. So
right.
It'd be a little bit weird to do on the following week.
Or Falls Count Anywhere. There's been a lot of fighting on the floor, maybe.
I was thinking Last Man Standing.
That could work, too.
He said he was going to end this. Let's fucking do it.
Break out the duct tape. Let's go, baby. Adam's favorite finish ever.
I'm sure Cowboy Brock will be all for that.
Maybe I'm curious why Adam hates that finish, but he liked the Bayley and Io Sky finish at Money in the Bank, because it's essentially the same thing, right?
That's a good point. Although, you're not, like, pulling duct tape out and tying somebody up against the ring post and being like, haha, you can't stand up.
No, but you're securing them and preventing them from getting to the objective of the match, right?
Sure. But she didn't introduce the handcuffs. Bayley introduced the handcuffs.
Who introduced them.
True.
The ring crew brought the duct tape.
That's fair.
And again,
to be fair,
if you've ever watched a ring be put together, a lot of times the under mats are duct taped together.
Holy shit. I have a story for you. Sidebar.
Oh, okay.
When I went to the Proving Ground show a couple weeks ago.
How was it?
It was good. Okay. It was good. I asked Adam afterwards. I was like, you know, you want to go grab something? He's like, yeah, that's fine. He's like, you got to give me a little bit, though, because I got to help him take down the ring. I had never seen a ring been taken down before.
Really?
No, not fully. Huh. And I got to see it fully. There's a lot of fucking parts to a ring.
Uh-huh. Yes,
and they all have to, like, fit together.
Yep.
But with everybody doing it, it only took, oh, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. But still, it was crazy that, like, I don't think people realize, like, how much goes into putting up a ring and taking it down.
Yep. That's why they're in the arena so early, sometimes the night before.
Now, do the WWE rings, like, are they built differently than, like typical indie rings? No, same fucking deal.
Yeah,
duct tape, pads, wood.
I mean, they're typically, like, fresher, better boards and less new pads when they need them and stuff. But, yeah, no, other than that, it's similar. They also have more people doing ring crew, typically, who are, you know, they can get it up, the ring up and take it down probably a lot quicker than most indies can, but.
Well, I was going to say, you got, yeah, people, probably 20 or 30 people at once, so.
Because they're not doing it for a hot dog and a handshake.
What about the height, though? Does that matter? Like, because like the WWE ring's high. They have to have fucking... And now with those LED boards, I don't even know what the fuck they do. Like,
what do you mean?
Is that... So
I don't know about the LED boards. I've never been into that. But the height really doesn't matter because you're sliding the boards off. You're taking the pads off. You're sliding the boards off. The ring posts are one piece. Those all stay together. And the metal underneath, the hardest part of the ring, as they talk about, those all typically like slide out. So,
gotcha. Yeah, it was quite a feat.
Yeah.
Okay. Made me never want to join wrestling school. Anyway.
There you go. You know who is starting to win me over?
Who is that?
This might surprise you, and people have listened to the show a lot. Bronson Reed is starting to win me over on the main roster.
You mean Big Bronson Reed?
Yeah, that's another thing. Fucking, oh my god, I can't believe they put Big in his name. What a fucking WWE, that's such a WWE thing to do. Yeah, Big Bill, motherfuckers. First name Big, last name Bill.
Bill. No, I don't give a shit if they call him Big Bronson Reed. They can call him Gigantic Bronson Reed for all I care.
Named after what Tony gives his dad at the end of fucking All In. Good.
I think you mean All Out, the one at Wembley.
No, All In is the one at Wembley. All Out's the one in Chicago.
Oh, that's right.
Thanks for stepping on the dick of my joke and still getting it wrong, but that's okay.
Right. Good. Well, you know.
As I said, tonight's the night. Sal gets everything wrong.
Just everything. The fucking whole nine, but it's fine.
But no, I think Bronson Reed has been presented really well on the main roster for the most part. He looks dominant. Big win over Ciampa sets up a nice little thing with something going on with Shinsuke, or maybe some sort of triple threat between the three of them at some point. I dig it. I'm enjoying it.
So, interestingly enough, Ciampa's character is that he doesn't take shit from anybody. He doesn't give a fuck who you are. But he made it a point to warn Shinsuke not to come out there, which immediately made me think, oh, Shinsuke's going to come out there.
Right.
This is exactly what he did.
You can't tell me what to do.
But I will say, yes, I will say I was impressed with Ciampa pulling off the air raid crash because he almost lost him.
Yeah, no, it was, I thought the match was good. I like I said, I think I'm the way they are presenting Bronson Reed, I'm getting like Bam Bam Bigelow vibes.
Sure.
And I think that's really good. I don't think they typically present their big men that way. They're usually used to build the littler guys, unfortunately. They're fodder for, you know, look at a guy like Baron Corbin. How many guys has he had to put over who were not as big as him? And Big Show, obviously, we talk about all the time. They don't always protect the big guys. And in this case, it looks like they're trying to, at least at this point, protect Bronson Reed. And I like that. I think it's a good look for him. But in any event.
To what end, though? Because Bronson Reed seems like the perfect first person that would lose to a Drew McIntyre defending the IC belt after SummerSlam.
That would be a program I'd be interested in seeing, though.
Sure. It'd be new. Yeah. We haven't seen it before. And the problem with a guy like Bronson Reed, though, the more you protect him, the better off you are. I'd keep him away from Drew after SummerSlam. I'd send him someplace else because your money is keeping Bronson strong.
Sure.
Once he starts losing, then he's Big Show. And nobody...
No, I mean, there's a difference between a guy who loses to a former world champion like Drew and Big Show, who eventually, at a certain point in his career, just lost to everybody.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. Like, you gotta... You don't want to string those losses together and start making that the
I mean, the moment the Big Show died was when he got slapped and cried in the ring. I mean, that was...
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, that was like 2015.
Yeah, at that point, it was like, oh, okay, they're really done with this guy. Like,
I kind of thought they were done with him when he was dressing up like a baby. And that was like 10 years prior to that.
I thought the Big Show's stint of doing impressions revitalized his career a little bit. It got the crowd back behind him. It was humor. It was MJF and Adam Cole doing a dance-off, but it served its purpose. It got people behind Big Show again.
And then he went on to do what exactly?
I don't know. You know what's really bad is that Mark Henry doesn't even get to interview people before the main event on Rampage now. They just have a canned video of him going, "It's time for the main event," and they play
it. Well, it's not like he got to say anything when he was interviewing them anyway, so...
But, I mean, it's like, now he doesn't even have to show up at the fucking arena.
Of all the people that AEW signed, I feel like they had absolutely nothing for Mark Henry.
Fuego del Sol.
No, Fuego del Sol got a storyline with Miro.
No. Fuego del Sol, actually, he got his contract after his storyline with Miro, but he got his contract because he was friends with Sammy Guevara, and they thought it would pop the crowd on that night.
Oh, okay, sure. But what I mean with Mark Henry is, like, you signed him.
But he's supposedly a trainer or a teacher, whatever the fuck they call him over there. I forget.
Maybe. I mean, there's a lot of agents over there, like Dean Malenko and Arn Anderson and shit like that. But Mark Henry, I don't know if they tried to make use of him.
And
by
we've
putting
talked
him
about
on,
it in the past.
Commentary?
Tony, we've talked about the past. Tony is very good at trying to find ways to have the media be very kind to his product. And Mark Henry is a frequent contributor on Busted Open. So if Tony Khan is giving you the paycheck that Vince McMahon didn't, you're going to go on to your show, your podcast that's listened to by a lot of wrestling fans, and what are you going to put over?
Oh, sure, but, I mean, what are you doing in your career? You're standing there, and now you're a canned catchphrase?
Getting paid, I guess.
Kevin Nash will tell you that's what it's all about. Anyway.
Let's see.
So I'm interested to see where we go with Ciampa, and I can't wait till Johnny gets back. I really fucking can't. So last week they did not write Liv Morgan off TV. This week it sure seems like we're written her off TV.
Yep.
Rhea comes out there and just fucking gobbles her up.
Well, Rhea gobbles everyone up.
She put a beating on that girl.
By the way, non sequitur. Did you catch that during their entrance on Collision? Max Caster was going to make another joke about Rhea Ripley and Dominic, and Buddy Matthews came out and beat
Matthews
him in the fucking face before he could say it.
He was, yep, that's where they were going. They were going to make another cuck joke about fucking Dominic and Rhea.
Yeah.
Great heat. Great heat to get Buddy Matthews to jump him before he could get the line out.
Yep.
Rhea gets a bunch of heat on Liv, which means this isn't about Raquel being taken out. This is about Liv being taken out so we can get to Raquel and Rhea at SummerSlam. Do you think Raquel is the babyface that should be challenging Rhea at SummerSlam?
Is she going to? We're like a week out yet and the match isn't official and she's supposedly suffered a serious injury that we announced this week.
Well, if it's not her, then who?
I don't know.
I mean, you can't not have the women's title defended at SummerSlam, right?
I mean, you can.
You can. It's not a good look.
You've got the other one being defended, so.
Yeah, and you shoehorn three people into that match.
Yeah, so, you know, if you put together a match. I mean, if Raquel really is injured and can't do the match, and that was the plan, you know, it is what it is. No, do you want to fight Dana Brooke for the title? Like...
No, I guess you got nothing then. You got nothing for Rhea.
Well, she'll be involved in all the Judgment Day stuff that's going on.
Yeah, but sure, but she's been dominant on her own.
I mean, they also haven't still officially announced Sammy and Kevin. By the way, how did you guys not catch the fact that it was going to last week that it's going to be Sammy and Kevin versus Dominic and Damian Priest?
At SummerSlam?
Yes.
Did we not just do that on Raw?
That's very
no,
clearly...
No, we did Sammy and Dom. No, we didn't. Okay.
That's very clearly the direction for SummerSlam and has been for a while. You guys, like, totally missed that one last week.
Because Dom is... I know it's a week before, but he's going to be at the Great American Bash defending his North American title.
Yeah, probably losing it.
Priest, I figured, just would have hovered around the main event, or not main event, but the world title match.
Well, that reminds me, we do have Great American Bash predictions, don't we?
We do. But yeah, if they want to fight Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, that's fine, I guess, except for, like, what? I don't know. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, we're talking about two of the most over people in the world coming out of WrestleMania Night 1. And like you said,
fighting the most over faction in the company that's not the Bloodline.
Again, we both know where Priest's priorities are, and Dom also has other priorities, so it seems like an afterthought. You're doing things with both these guys at other ends of the spectrum.
What are they doing with Priest right now?
He's Mr. Money. He's Senor Money in the Bank.
Right, but he's been locked in on Owens and Zayn, hasn't he?
He should be locked in on fucking Finn and
No, he shouldn't. Seth. That should be a surprise when he does it.
But we know he's going to do it.
Sure. It should be a surprise when he does it, right?
I guess. What else? Anything from Raw? Anything else from Raw?
Nothing jumps out that, like, oh my...
Oh, Apollo Crews had a match on
Raw. Yeah, like I said, nothing else.
let's see here. Ludwig Kaiser, Summers... Oh, Seth freaking Rollins signs a contract with Finn Balor. Nobody cares. Not that nobody cares. I like Finn Balor, but where is this going? I don't know. Not where is this going. You know where
it
wouldn't
shock me if they put the title on Finn. I'm not going to lie.
And you think he walks out of SummerSlam with the title?
Wouldn't shock me.
Okay. I'd be interested in it.
And then there's that constant specter of Priest cashing in on him, but always sort of like, oh, I'm not... Priest's not really planning to do it. See, and that to me is what the thing is Finn becomes so paranoid about Priest that eventually he attacks Priest and kicks Priest out, and then JD McDonagh takes Priest's spot.
I'm down for that.
So,
we haven't seen JD McDonagh in a little bit either. So maybe that's a surprise they're saving.
Maybe.
Right. Sticking with the Judgment Day, I do want to talk about Dirty Dom Mysterio and Rhea Ripley this week on NXT.
Yes, let's do that.
So Dirty Dom starts the night. Your brand new North American champion. So fucking good. Now, Wesley comes out there, and
actually,
Wesley
hold on one second, because I do want to point out just what was hilarious. I want to say it was on Raw or SmackDown. It might have been on SmackDown, because a lot of the NXT guys were on SmackDown.
Yes.
Dominic Mysterio is like, runs into Tony D'Angelo. He's like, oh, yeah, I know that guy from prison. Okay, tell him I said hi.
That was kind of funny. I'll give him that.
Good tie-in.
And it was something like Sammy the Hook or something like that. Typical fucking, tell myself what's up. So an NXT, Wesley comes out there. And Wesley cuts the promo I thought Ricochet was going to cut. Like, there was fire and passion.
Well, Wesley's always got fire and passion in his promos.
That was great. I love that. We don't see enough of that at Wesley. Usually he's like, I'll take on all challengers. I'm good.
I thought the subtlety with Mustafa Ali was nice, too.
I liked it.
I was like, I was going to have the title until this clown... Oh, shit, sorry. I mean...
until this clown fucking blew it. Ah, shit.
Fired up.
I'm really emotional right now.
Yeah. No, I thought Mustafa was really good there.
What I liked was that Dom was like, this seems like a you problem.
Right.
Which I thought we were going to have the typical, okay, one-on-one match, and then Dom interferes, and then, well, here comes Shawn Michaels to make it a triple threat. But no, he was just like, I'll fight you both.
I was really looking forward to seeing what Wesley and Mustafa could do one-on-one. So I'm a little bummed that that's a triple threat now, as over as Dom is, but my guess is we'll find a way to get Dom out of the ring for a large chunk of that match, and it will be Mustafa and Lee mostly one-on-one. But
I would see that, too. I would... definitely think that's the way we're going. We talked about the obviousness of the Creed brothers being...
No, you didn't. You guys didn't even fucking notice it until I told you, motherfucker.
Well, that's what I said. We talked about it previously on the show.
I talked about it previously. You were like, oh, really?
And now it's even more obvious because they jumped... they cost the Dyad and
Schism
their match this week. Against...
By the way, she's just Ava now, huh?
Yep.
She's not Ava Rain anymore. And by the way, since when did she... She was fucking mailing it in with jeans this week, too.
Yeah.
What the fuck? It's not her character.
Ava Rain. Anyway.
Butterface.
She is. But what can you do? I mean, your father looks like The Rock, so...
By the way, shout out to The Rock, who donated a seven-figure donation to the SAG actors and writers on strike right now, just to try to help them, their families. Sometimes obviously the actors don't need as much as the writers do, but there are, I know it's hard to believe, there are plenty of actors who don't make millions of dollars. So,
but there are lots. Think about it. There's only a handful of like top stars,
right?
Just like the wrestling business,
right?
Yeah, good on Rock. Rock's always a class act, charitable guy, fucking one of a kind, and not like the RVD way, but like. Yeah, I was looking forward to Wesley versus Ali one-on-one, and we might still get there at some point, especially if one of them walks out with the belt at Great American Bash. But
the whole schism thing was disappointing because I'm so like the trope of the two guys fighting at the pay-per-view, teaming up. Mm-hmm. Just like, can we stop? Like every fucking time, stop it.
I know.
Roman and fucking Jay gonna team up this week? Like, come on.
And of course, during that match,
and Jimmy's gonna return and challenge Roman to a tribal farting contest.
Oh my god. Of course, during that match, Dragunov hit Trick with a flying headbutt. Oops, sorry. I think he sent him fucking ass backwards into the stairs with that headbutt too. And Trick took exception to that after the match, and I can't say I fucking blame him. But, yeah. Wait, I don't know if I like this build between Mello and Dragunov.
I don't at all.
You don't at all. Okay, so I'm not the only one.
No, there's really no build. It's been a lot of... there's been a promo here, a tag team match there, and that's it. There's really no history between these two. There's not been that blow-away promo that, like, oh my god, let's... I don't know. And Dragunov, his match with Breaker was great, but it didn't feel like even that got the sort of showcase it should have gotten. So.
No, in fact, it was bottom line missable. Yeah. Like, not that the match, it just didn't have any impact for me after. There was no like, oh my god, Dragunov beat fucking Breaker. It was like,
eh, and now Breaker was back this week, jumping Von Wagner. Like, why jumping is this guy Von still Wagner. In NXT? I know Adam will say that about Von Wagner, but I'm talking about Bron Breakker.
He keeps going down the card.
Right.
Pretty soon he's going to be fucking fighting Javier.
Right.
I mean, he might as well. That's who Von Wagner was fighting. Right. Big know. Body Javi. Yeah, I don't get it. Maybe they're just waiting.
Way to reach for the middle, bro.
Yeah, right? Like, this guy was fucking... 3 weeks ago, he was mouthing off to Shawn Michaels and talking about what he was going to do, and what he was going to do is jump Von Wagner?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, speaking of completely going over his head, and I love you, Troy, but last week...
Dude!
No, wait, let me fucking finish.
Wait, no. Last week... Did you just make a going over his head joke right after we're done talking about Von Wagner? Really?
I didn't mean it like that!
I was still making slow ped jokes after what we now know about the guy.
I was looking at my NXT results, and there's a picture of Gable Steveson.
Jesus Christ, dude.
And Troy was like, well, this is obviously he's going to like announce he's going back to college. And I'm like, nah, it's probably a gimmick. And it was a gimmick to get him into his next feud, his first feud. And it will be with none other than Mr. Professional himself, Baron Corbin. So... what do you think? Now, Gable Steveson did the typical German suplex, belly-to-belly overhead suplex, you know, what all the Olympians do. But do you think this kid is going to be able to hang? You think he's going to be able to make something of this?
He's been training for a long time, and Damon Kemp, his brother, has done pretty well. So, you know, hopefully it transitions. I think it does say a lot about Baron Corbin that he's the guy that they consistently put in there with these kinds of guys. It's a lot of trust. People don't realize that for the company, like, they have a lot of money tied up in a big investment in Gable Steveson. So for them to trust Baron Corbin to be the guy to go out there and get that good first match, that good first impression out of him, actually tells you how much they think about Baron Corbin.
Which surprised me. It did surprise me that Corbin was the one to interrupt him, because typically this is a spot for like a Dolph Ziggler or even someone like Miz, who you're used to seeing the company put trust in those guys to get someone new over. But they trust Corbin. That's and you know what? That made me have some respect for Corbin. I'll admit it. Okay. His character still bothers the shit out of me, and his on-screen presence is trash. But I'm glad that they can trust him with somebody like Gable Stevenson, because like you said, they invested in this guy. They want him to succeed. They don't want him to look like shit on TV.
Okay. So now I need you to do me a favor.
Yeah.
Tell me what was bad about the Cora Jade Dana Brooke match.
Nothing really.
Yeah.
They were really good.
Surprisingly, it was a pretty good match.
Some of those shots were fucking hectic.
Yeah.
There was one time where Dana fucking wound up and cracked it right across Cora's stomach, and I was like, oh!
Dana's new gear, mwah, chef's kiss. Love it.
Oh, very nice.
Fully endorsed.
Very nice.
That.
Didn't look like herself, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good thing.
I don't know how I feel about the fishnets over the pantyhose, though. It's a little bit weird. But
it was what it was.
Yeah.
I was surprised. You know what? The crowd didn't boo the shit out of her.
No?
They actually were, like, there for a Dana Brooke match.
And the Swanton was nice at the end with the win, and there you go.
Hey, credit to Dana. I didn't think it was working, and to this point it hadn't, but this was fine. This was better than the fucking match that Gigi first had with JC Jane, let's be honest here.
By a lot.
Yeah, by a lot, it's true. So good on Cora, good on Dana, and I'm assuming the next thing is for Dana's understudy there. What's her name? The girl Kiana Jordan.
Yeah.
Kalani Jordan.
Kalani Jordan, maybe.
Yeah. She's probably going to get into a fight with Cora, and that's fine.
I'm getting her mixed up with Kiana James too much.
Huh.
I'm missing Kiana James and Fallon Henley. I haven't seen a lot of them lately.
Kiana James last week fought Gigi again and beat her again. I love Gigi Dolan, but I don't know.
Gigi should not be wearing pants, by the way.
No. Never. That's like a crime against humanity.
Seriously. Fuck. Anyway.
Speaking of the girls bringing it, what'd you think of Lyra and Rhea?
Okay, so that's we're going to jump right to the main event, but that's fine. That was, to me, an eye-opening performance for Lyra Valkyria.
That was incredible. Now, of course,
she hung with Ripley in a way a lot of women on the main roster haven't been presented as being able to. So that was very impressive. That says a lot about what they think of Lyra. And I think it's something that she can really build off of. I don't know that she's ever going to be NXT Women's Champion, but I think she has the potential to be a very solid contributor on the main roster.
To me, this was her star-making performance more than her match with Tiffany Stratton a few weeks ago.
By a lot, yeah. And Tiffany, just as much as I love Tiffy time, don't get me wrong, but she's not at that level where she can elevate somebody else. Rhea is.
Not only is Rhea at that level, she is the tippy top of this game right now. I'm sorry. You look at the mess over on SmackDown and what's going on with their women's title, and I think Rhea is portrayed as the most dominant female in the entire company.
Oh, yeah, by a lot.
And so for her to have this match with Lyra, I loved it. I fucking loved it, man.
Yeah.
It was good shit. Do we want to see Tony D'Angelo and Stax go for the tag titles, or are we all set? I'm all set.
I'm fine with seeing it. They were supposed to do it at the last one. I'm fine with seeing it. What I am all set with is scripts on commentary.
Ugh. Yeah, he's not good on commentary, man.
He's not good at anything, really.
He can flip. He's good at Cirque du Soleil.
I guess.
At least we're told.
And then, of course, we end with the Torpedo Moscow to Carmelo accidentally because he was going after Trick. Like,
whoops. Didn't mean to hit you with my finisher. Sorry.
Fucking dumb. I'm sure this will be a great match because the two competitors can fucking go. They'll bring it. Mm-hmm. It'll be brutal. It'll be physical, as every Dragunov match is. But it's... the build has not done either one any favors.
I ask you a tough question here. Is Carmelo as a face working?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like he was coming off better as a heel when he was North American champion.
No, I think he came across great as a face when he was working with a strong heel like Breaker. And right. Even with Corbin. Dragunov's been presented as a face.
Yeah.
So it's face on face, and it's always tough for the champion always to get over in that matchup.
Yep, that's true. I really liked his match in Lowell against Corbin. Yeah. And I liked the build on that. Yeah. I thought the build was really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, this program with Dragunov has been lacking. And it's not even their fault. It's just weird. It's just a weird pairing.
It's just out of nowhere with nothing. Yeah. It's...
And you're throwing all this stuff with Trick in the middle, and if that if that's what leads to the Trick-Melo breakup, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad. Once we get there, it's probably going to be money, but I didn't think it would be fucking Dragunov that leads them there.
And it'll be Bray Wyatt involved.
I like how you're involving Bray Wyatt and everything.
No, just Cody.
Speaking of which, Corbin, wasn't he in the swamp last week trying to find himself? Oh, yeah, he did the fucking Mortal Kombat thing. Mirror fight, where you fight yourself.
I liked the Corbin segments, so.
I don't know how it turned out. I don't know if he beat himself. Maybe he beat himself.
Flawless victory.
What do you think of this stuff with Noam Dar? Are you digging
don't
it?
Shit.
No. It's not funny? I thought it's funny. Not the people around him necessarily, but I thought Noam Dar was playing it funny.
Anything that involves the fucking Heritage Cup, I'm out. Because.
Sure.
Like, turn that bitch into a belt. Like, come on. Just.
There's no reason they shouldn't.
The fucking trophy thing they're carrying around, it's like 800 pounds and gigantic. It's like, that's not a prize anybody wants.
Oh, also on NXT this week, Tiffy had a pre-tape, and I really enjoyed it.
Yep.
She talked about...
I really enjoy her Instagram.
Oh, absolutely. If only she had an OnlyFans.
Wait a couple years.
A couple years and a couple companies.
But I feel like she is what Mandy Rose could have been, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Mandy Rose was... But she's better in the ring at this point, I think, than even Mandy Rose was. And I love Mandy. It's well documented on this network. But
we know.
I think she gives them sort of what they lost when they lost Mandy. And I don't think there's been that much of a drop-off between the two.
No. She has that presence, and she commands it really nicely. And she's a perfect counter to all the baby faces that are coming up.
You know what I did not like on NXT this week?
Los Lotharios arguing in the parking lot?
No.
Oh, okay.
The grocery store fight between Roxanne Perez and Blair Davenport.
Oh, you mean the one caught on CCTV?
Yes. Where Roxanne is hitting her with empty cardboard boxes and Blair is selling them like she got hit with a fucking sledgehammer.
Peek behind the curtain. I have watched the mini-documentary, the 3-episode mini-series on Netflix about the Boston Marathon bombings.
Sounds okay? Right.
And there was a lot of footage in that of, you know, from the gas station.
Yeah.
If you know, you know. Okay, I'm not going to get into it here. But that's what this reminded me of. Yeah. It felt like an episode of Cops.
Well, then you got the guy. It was so convoluted. First off, I know... You've beaten us over the head with us that Roxanne Perez is Booker T's prize student. She doesn't need to get into a grocery store fight just because Booker T did. Okay? Second of all, the guy behind the counter immediately pulls up his fucking phone. The only thing missing was him yelling, "World Star!" while he was doing it.
I think that's what they were trying to go for, but it's Roxanne Perez and I'm not buying
any
of
it. Then the fucking cops show up. We hear the fucking sirens. And Roxanne just pieces out. I'm like, is she fucking running away from the cops?
That's another felony.
Like, what the fuck are we doing?
She's going to get charged next week with assault and battery.
I'm assuming she got arrested.
My God, dude. We're going to get fucking vignettes of Roxanne behind bars.
Well, then she'll just have a match with Blair. Her match with Blair Davenport will be a loser gets to get out of jail.
Yep. Get out of jail free card hanging above the ring.
Yeah. That's what NXT has established anyway.
But that's what we could do. See, we rented this set that looks like where, you know, you do the phone calls in jail, and or you know need what? More use out of it.
You put the fucking get out of jail free card in a shark cage because it's Shark Week.
I thought you were going to say in a briefcase. And they can have the little fucking Monopoly guy face on the briefcase, too. This is legal documents that will pardon Roxanne from any charges if she gets it.
Or you take the briefcase, you put it in the briefcase, and then you wrap it up in those multiple empty cardboard boxes that they use, and you do box in a box in a box. First one to get to it gets out of jail free.
So what you're saying is they're going to have a cardboard box match at
Bash
at the Beach or whatever it's called, Great American Bash.
Booker, the sheer brutality that comes in a cardboard box match.
Dude, speaking of Booker, during that Cora Jade Dana Brooke match, he took a fucking bump. Did you see that? Dana sent Cora flying over the announce table and Booker just completely fell in his chair went sideways.
I gotta move my candy.
Oh, maybe good. Maybe Booker T will quit now and be like, I don't need that shit. For some reason, that just reminded me of Samuel L. Jackson. And shout out to Secret Invasion on Disney Plus. Great series.
I'm only three episodes in, so.
All right. Only three more to go.
So far, so good. I didn't like the death in the first one, though. I was upset.
I don't blame you.
All right. But speaking of shows that you can stream on the internet.
That's right.
We got one of those this weekend. We like to call them PLEs or premium live events. And this weekend, on Sunday, July 30th, we have the Great American Bash from NXT. This is the first time the Great American Bash has been a PLE for NXT. It's always been a TV special up to this point, I believe.
That's correct.
But if you go to your browser of choice, be it Chrome, Edge, he's dead. I'm pretty sure Safari's gone, unless you got an iPad or
Firefox.
Firefox, you know, whatever. Don't track my porn browser you guys use. You can go to rundownwrestling.com, and at the top you will see the predictions thread for NXT Great American Bash. We are going to run through them here. I have no idea how accurate these matches are, and there probably aren't going to be any funny names because Troy didn't put them in this time, so bear with us. No offense, Adam. I appreciate you putting the poll up. We're going to start with our eight-person tag team match on the kickoff. Dragon Lee, Nathan Frazier, Yulissa Leone, Valentina Feroz versus The Metaphor, which is Noam Dar, Oro Mensah, Jakara. Isn't it Dakara Jackson?
No, it's Jakara Jackson.
And Lash Legend. Sal.
Yeah.
Who you got?
Metaphor.
Yeah, it's not for the cup, so I'm guessing it'll be. And I do love that the Metaphor.
I
do like that the Metaphor got Noam Dar a fake cup, though. No, my cup's real. No, your cup's. Anyway. By the way, can we talk about how Roxanne Perez cannot fill out a pair of jeans? I'm sorry. Like, nice girl, good wrestler. She does that pose where she, like, shows you her ass when she gets in the ring. I don't understand why it's not her thing. She's very cute, very attractive girl, but.
Dude, I got one better for you. She was putting out some Instagram pictures of a couple months ago where she was hanging out with Cora Jade and
But they're
Indy.
Not friends anymore.
Yeah, I know, right? And a couple other NXT girls, and she was trying so hard, and it was a good bikini, but just not on her.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, she just doesn't have the curves for it.
Yeah, anyway. It was obvious during that grocery store thing. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
NXT North American Championship triple threat, Dirty Dom versus Wesley versus Mustafa Ali. Or as Adam put, Mustafa Ali. He tried. I'll give him credit.
He tried. He did. Okay, I'm gonna throw this out there. I think it was fun to have Dom win, but let's put it on Mustafa Ali. We can do the thing where Wes hits his finisher, the cardiac kick, and not the other thing that Booker T called it. And
the cardio kick?
Yeah. And Ali can come in there.
He's been running on a treadmill all day, man.
Ali can come in there. He can nutshot fucking Wesley if he wants. It doesn't matter. Just toss him out of the ring, pin Dominic, get the title, win, leave. So I'm going Ali.
I'm actually going the same way on that one. I think there's no reason. I don't think Dom needs the title.
No.
I want it staying in NXT. But...
And now this just gives a reason for Wes to keep chasing it.
Yeah. you know what? I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to go with Dominic.
Oh, what the fuck?
I just thought myself into it. I think the story we're telling here is that Wesley and Mustafa are too distracted with each other to focus on Dom. And I think similar to what you said, Lee's going to hit the cardiac kick and on Mustafa and be so fucking obsessed with it that Dom's going to just throw him out and then steal the pin. Yeah, but I think Dom gets the win.
It works for either one, to be honest.
And I think, honestly, outside of this, I think the ratings have been so much better with Judgment Day involved on NXT that I think they're going to be hesitant to take the title off of Dom because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to stick with Dom. NXT Women's title in a submission match, Thea Hale versus Tiffy Time, Tiffany Stratton. Who you got, Sal? Submission match. Now, we know that Thea has the Kimura. We've not seen a submission, really, from Tiffany Stratton.
No, and we won't either. I feel like she knocks out Thea with the belt behind the ref's back and puts her in, like, an arm bar, and like they're like, well, she passed out.
I'm sorry,
and
what?
There you go. Arm bar.
There you go. Yeah, no, I think Tiffany wins, too. I don't think they're taking the title off of her just yet.
I don't see her actually lacing in a submission, but I might be wrong. Maybe she puts her in, like, a scorpion lock or something.
I guess you have to put this question here now, the way things have been going, but Adam added, will there be a cash-in by Io? Yes, Io wins. Yes, Io loses, or no, and I'm going to go no.
No. One thing I will say, though, I will tell you this. I think Thea and Tiffany is going to have a great match.
Yeah,
they might. I think it's going to be, like, better than it has any right to be, given how young Thea Hale is in this business.
Okay. And of course, you'll have some Chase U shenanigans, I'm sure. And you know, so it'll be interesting to see if anybody comes and helps Tiffany with knowing that Chase U guys will be out there. So,
Good point.
It's the return of Bodhi. He's going to turn on him for kicking him out of school.
Maybe.
The NXT tag team title is going to be on the line as Gallus, which Adam tried, Gallstone, takes on the family of two.
Tony Sandwich and Stax. Close.
Oh, D'Angelo's. Okay, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not as funny as Troy makes them. Hey, Adam, I love you, buddy.
I appreciate the effort.
Fault.
I really do.
It's not your fault.
So,
Troy's pretty good at this. He's been doing it for a while.
My take here is Stax. This is where Stax turns on Tony.
Really?
And Gallus wins, yes. I think we teased it. Then we pulled back on it and tried to convince everybody that they're completely together. Now I think is when we drop the hammer and Stax turns on him.
I would believe you if it wasn't for that stupid family Olive Garden segment they did last week.
Y2AJ, brother. Y2AJ.
True, but this isn't that, and unfortunately I feel like the titles are going on Sandwich and Stax.
Right, we'll see. Regular old singles match. Gable Steveson.
He called him Stevie Gabeson. I appreciate that.
Okay.
I don't know about Corin Bearbin, but whatever.
Baron Corbin versus Gable Steveson. Who you got, Sal?
I don't see a scenario where you want Steveson to lose, so I'm going to go with him. At least the first debut match, he should probably win.
Okay, this one was good. It's our Weapons Wild match. Roxanne Perez versus Booker, what do you think of Blair Davenport?
Roxanne Perez versus Dead Silence Crickets.
Oh, my goodness. Where are you going on this one, Sal?
Blair. Blair wins, and Roxanne continues to have a mental breakdown. And then she beats up more people in the gas station. And then Booker T can keep talking to her about it in the back and be like, you gotta beat up people at the gas station.
So I struggle with this one because part of me wants to go Blair because I think that's what should happen. But the other part of me goes, I think Tiffany Stratton's winning and she's going to need a strong face. And I think the I'm much more aggressive Roxanne Perez might be the next on the agenda for Tiffany Stratton. So
I've been saying it for a while now. Roxanne Perez is really, really good in the ring. Her character is difficult.
Her character is a girl who wrestles good.
But
which would be great in AEW, where their characters are a person who wrestles good.
Sure. But the problem with Roxanne Perez is even now that she's like more aggressive, I'm not believing it.
Okay, so Roxanne Perez is Candice LeRae with less charisma and mic skills.
And shorter.
Yeah. They're both pixies.
All right, fine. But
anyway, yeah, but I'm going with Roxanne Perez to win this one. So.
All right. I think Blair's going to win, but that's fine.
I think she should, but I think Roxanne will.
All right.
That's the difference. NXT Championship match, Carmelo Hayes versus Ilya, dragging these nuts across you. There's no way they're taking the title off Melo here, right?
No. I love me some Dragunov. I think this dude will be a star in America, but he is not winning that belt. Not on this night. Maybe at some point, but definitely not the first
time. I'm going to go on a limb here, okay? Carmelo Hayes wins this match. At SummerSlam, Ilya Dragunov costs Drew McIntyre the Intercontinental title and joins Imperium.
I would fucking love it.
And he'll become there. When Gunther evolves to the main event scene, Dragunov will become their IC title guy, and they'll have a guy in every division, tag team, IC, mid-card, and world champ.
The problem with that is Gunther and Kaiser will tower over Dragunov. Do you really want that visual of Dragunov standing next to those two?
I mean, they did JD McDonagh and Finn Balor and Damian Priest, right?
But Priest is the only big one in that, so he just looks like a heavy.
But McDonagh,
you know what I mean,
still looked small compared to Balor.
That's true. I don't know. We'll see. I think Dragunov has got the energy and the demeanor to overcome the height.
Hell, two of the guys in Judgment Day are smaller than Rhea.
That's true.
Again, the question has to be asked here. Will there be a cash-in?
No.
Don't look at me like that. It could happen. The answer is no. There will be no cash-ins.
No. If Damian Priest, and I don't give a fuck if this is selfish. I don't give a fuck if this is because I'm a homer. If Damian Priest takes the fucking title off Carmelo Hayes, I will come on here next week, and I will fucking complain and bitch
over,
and cancel my Peacock subscription.
Over and above the fact that it would not make sense for Priest to cash in here. It takes all the heat off of him being around Seth Rollins and Finn Balor's match on
exactly.
SummerSlam. So.
Mm-hmm.
So that is it. Hit your send it button. Get your predictions in, and then you can predict the Money in the Bank results, which pops up next. I could probably predict it better than I did half asleep last time. But that's going to do it for the predictions. Sal, did you want to begin our recap of Ring of Honor's pay-per-view this past weekend?
No, that's going to do it for us this week on the Rundown.
Did you have anything else you wanted to bring up before we head out?
Nah, I think we're good. We covered a lot. The only thing I will say is that obviously we're in the build to SummerSlam. We're right there for Great American Bash. And it's typically after SummerSlam that we go into the draws of wrestling, because we have that September to December period of time where nothing really happens, and I'm hoping that's not the case.
So let's do this. Let's make this exercise real quick before we get out of here. Right. And we'll probably have this discussion a little bit more with the other guys next week as we predict SummerSlam. But typically, after SummerSlam is the second biggest event of the year, and that's typically where we see our next round of NXT guys called up.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you see called up?
At this point, Breaker.
Uh-huh.
Dragunov.
Okay. I agree with both of those.
There's a part of me that can see Wesley going to SmackDown. It really is. But I think not yet. I think they hold off on Wesley because they need him down there. He's good with the fans.
Which is weird.
I know.
Given the way he started.
I know. And I'm going to say probably Lyra.
I'm going to go Cora Jade.
Okay. Okay.
I don't think there's a lot left for her to do down there. If they're calling up Breaker, it makes sense to keep them together. Yeah. I'm assuming there's still a couple. They were at one point. So I could definitely see that. I could see
what
that.
What about Joe Gacy?
No, probably not.
Really?
I don't think he's over enough down there yet.
Okay.
I could see a scenario where this is where we finally get the Creed brothers up after they cost Schism their match.
Maybe.
That's possible. Brooks and Jensen, you think? No. I'm just kidding. Adam would lose his mind. Although Adam likes Brooks and Jensen more than he'll admit because of Josh Briggs. But,
right.
You know, it is what it is. But they do need, I think, to... We are.
Oh, that's why you're saying it wrong. It's Briggs and Jensen, not Brooks and Jensen.
I was wanting to see if you would catch that. One thing I will say before we get out of here, and this was posting and circulating on social media this week. This week is the 1 year anniversary of Triple H taking over creative control in WWE. What would you say has been his biggest strength in terms of booking and his biggest weakness in terms of booking?
I will say his biggest strength has been making people in different moments feel important.
Okay.
I think he's done a great job of rehabilitating some people's characters and putting focus on them and what they're, you know, what they're good at. People like a Bronson Reed or
LA Knight.
LA Knight. I think his weaknesses have been he has been very safe. More safe than he ever was when he was booking NXT.
That's a fair point. But there's a lot more riding on booking the main roster.
Of course. Of course.
You're a publicly traded company. Well, not anymore, right? They took the publicly traded part out. They made it private again.
Yeah.
But you are a company, a national company. You have to worry about investors and not investors. You have to worry about advertisers.
You have to worry about advertisers constantly. You have to worry about ticket sales. I mean, that's, you know, you want to have these shows in other countries that sell out and do great business. And
I think
you want to have.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, if you want to keep the engine going, you got to make sure that you keep viewers coming, you keep people buying merch, you keep people over.
So for me, his biggest strength is two things. First off, re-engaging sort of the international crowd that they lost during the COVID pandemic. I think Money in the Bank being in London was big. I think that was big. Puerto Rico with Backlash was big. They're doing big business internationally again, which I think they sort of fell off doing. They would do a Raw here or there from even before the pandemic from London, but they didn't really dip their toes into doing big events there, Clash at the Castle notwithstanding. The other thing I would say is that he's done a really good job of making people care about things when they start to feel like they don't want to care about them, pulling them back into things. And the Bloodline's a great example of that. I can't tell you how many times I've been like, all right, it's probably time to end this whole Bloodline thing. And then they do something, and I'm like, oh, fuck, now I'm all the way back in. I think he's been very good at that. To me, and this is going to be a bit of a surprise, and it's a bit of a surprise when I thought about it, to me, the biggest failure of his first year in charge has been the lack of advancement in the women's division. And in fact, it feels like we've almost gone backwards.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at Nikki Cross getting jobbed out in 30 seconds to Shayna Baszler. There's not a lot of TV time for the women these days. The champions are not presented. Like this is not Becky main eventing WrestleMania.
No.
This is not. And I sort of figured, because that was such a focal point of him down in NXT, you would see a lot more emphasis put on the women's division, and it feels like there's less than there's been in a while.
I think it's...
Put it this way. Did you ever envision a scenario where Becky would be this big of a loser on TV under Triple H? Bailey, no. Sorry.
Oh, Bailey? No, not under Triple H. Bailey being a loser was always a Vince thing.
Yeah.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I do understand where you're coming from with that. I wonder, though, if...
It feels like NXT is where they do all the stuff with the women. And then Raw and SmackDown, yeah, we got to give them something.
Sure, but there were times when Sasha and Charlotte were...
They brought back Trish fucking Stratus, and she's, like, mid-segment in the show and not very important.
But that's what I'm talking about. Is it Triple H's fault? He's bringing people back like Trish... He's giving Becky time.
He's bringing her back,
time.
But not making her feel important.
I don't know
if comedy with the fake nose guard again. She should feel like...
But I don't know if he's a victim of the circumstance, because I feel like if Triple H was running WWE in WrestleMania 35 time, when Becky, Ronda, and Charlotte were main eventing WrestleMania, then they would have been just as great. You know what I mean? But he's at a point now where it's like he doesn't have new stars. So he kind of keeps going back to the same thing. Bianca was great, but Bianca's, at this point, is flamed out to be normal. I don't know if that's because she's next to Charlotte or whatever it is, but she doesn't feel special.
There's a very simple formula for I don't have new stars. You stop jobbing out Bailey. You do something.
Bailey's not a new star.
Bailey can be a star. You don't...
No, she's not a new star.
Okay, fine. But you... Well, she sort of is because she's so far down at this point, she would be. But you make Io a star, which it looks like they're finally doing, but it took way too long to get there.
All right, that's fair.
You can make... You could make... I'm going to say something very strange here, but you could make Zelina Vega very similar to a Sasha Banks character. Sort of the smaller girl that gets away and sort of beats the bigger girls and still finds a way to get on top, and great character, and she's good on the microphone, and I think that's something you could do. You could have pushed Shayna a long time ago to being a top draw. There's a lot of stuff they could have done. There's a lot of women they could have done more with Chelsea Green than a women's tag team titles program. She's talented. You could have done a lot more with Sonya Deville by a lot. I mean, there were a lot of women on this. Nikki Cross, Candice LeRae is a great example of somebody who could have been a new star for you.
It's strange because you have someone like Rhea who is dominant and is in this position in part because of the Judgment Day. She didn't get this red hot until she was with them.
Also, how long has it taken to push Raquel?
I know.
She's still not even there. So there, to me, that's where the big failures have been. He's had opportunities to create new stars in this division. He just hasn't. He's relied too much on the ready-made stars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. So do you think he makes some changes and adjustments, or do you think he continues
to play? No, I think he will. I think he's one of those guys that looks at doing stuff better all the time. So...
See, it's difficult, though. It is tough. I mean, we always criticize how him and Vince, Vince more often, have run the company. But when you go to other places, when you go to England, when you go to, let's say, if they go to India, there's certain people that fans expect to see.
Sure.
So you have to book them, and you have to put them in prime spots.
Sure.
Which brings up an interesting thing, and I know we said we were going to wrap up, but... Do you see Roman taking a big chunk of time off after SummerSlam?
I mean, probably no more so than usual after a big pay-per-view. He's usually gone for a few weeks after that.
Oh, I was going to say a few weeks at least, probably 2 months, right?
I don't know about 2 months. They'll still keep his... He's still a big draw on SmackDown on TV.
Sure, but I don't see him defending that title anytime soon after SummerSlam.
No, but I'm not sure who the next challenger is. If they set up a story with a big return at SummerSlam... Randy Orton returns at SummerSlam.
Also, is this the first time he's defended that title since Mania?
Yes. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, that was 4 months.
Well, I mean, on a major show, yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't mean, like, for the house, but, like...
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that was always going to be my issue, and I said that back at WrestleMania 39, and of course we keep going back to the Cody thing. His title defense is the length of his
reign. Yeah, but he's been on pay-per-views, dude. That's the thing, like...
Of course he's been on there. He's the fucking champ. He should be.
He defended it at Money in the Bank. They put him in a tag team match.
Yeah, there's always an excuse for why they don't defend it. But that's not the point. The point is, like, this title reign gets less impressive if he's defending it less.
They did the six-man tag in Saudi Arabia. Like, they've put him on the shows. He's just been doing stuff with the Usos instead of...
Maybe the next program is solo. Who knows?
Maybe. We'll see.
Well, that seems to be about it, buddy.
I guess that is. So thank you all for tuning in. Hopefully we'll be back at full strength shortly, or at least a three-man booth like we typically like to try to get. I'm back for at least a few more weeks till fall baseball starts again. But Sal, you want to send him home?
I'll be glad to. Well, I guess that means that we'll smack your ass raw next time. I just got it right.
I guess you're just going to get it wrong, so.
Motherfucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, join us next week when we will run your ass down next time. That's how you do it.
Where's the smack and the raw? You didn't say smack or raw now.
Stop doing
smack
that.
Smack your ass raw next time. We'll work it out in post.
Bye.
Peace.